What's poppin'? It's the Wednesday show in a nice short week. It just dawned on me. Only three more shows.
Yeah. Nice.
To the weekend. More football. But for now, we're in the DealsInTheD.com studios on a special day because in 25 minutes or so, we're going to talk to Rod Argent of the Zombies.
Hall of Famers.
Yeah, they just got in this year.
That's why the one thing I want to ask him about is how hot Susanna Hoffs was for him.
Oh, you know, that's a great question.
Thank you.
The Zombies and Brian Wilson are playing. Well, that's a great bill. September 24th at Masonic. And
isn't that weird that Brian Wilson is touring?
Yes, it is weird.
I mean, he wouldn't tour when they were at their height and their zenith, and now he's touring.
And they went out as the Beach Boys, but, you know, Glenn Campbell would play Brian's parts, or somebody would.
Yeah. And while he was back recording Beach Boy albums with, what's the group?
The
backing group. I can't believe I can't remember.
Wrecking Crew.
The Wrecking Crew, thank you.
Yeah. Brian tours a lot now. It's very odd. I think they do a pretty good job, too. I've seen some online. Mm-hmm. He always sounds better than I imagined. And the Zombies sounded fantastic at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. So excited for Rod Argent, the great keyboard player. But don't ask him. You'll hold your head up as one of the great keyboard solos.
Yeah.
And I should have looked up our man who has the top 20 bass lines, guitar tones. He's got to have keyboard.
Is it Beto? Beto? Is that his
name?
Yeah,
Rick Beato.
Rick Beato. You know what's funny? I was thinking you were going to say Roland Winkler.
Who's that motherfucker play those keyboards?
Roland Winkler. Leif Garrett's buddy. Roland
shirt,
Rock.
Brother. Nice looking shirt.
Thank you. Yes. Thank you to Mr. Magoo.
Tom didn't like what we were talking about, so we went the non sequitur right
ready for
bed.
A bomb?
That's one way to go.
Hey, if it works.
Mr. Magoo came through with a bunch of t-shirts. I've got the Mags shirt today on Facebook Live.
I just got mine. My Batmaz one.
It's all about you.
Thanks, Magoo. Mark's got a Charlotte one.
It's t-shirt time.
It is t-shirt time. Magoo really came through. Look at these shirts.
Oh, I like why are you wearing it?
Oh, sweet.
I put mine on.
Oh, Bill's got a t-shirt now?
Well, he really does. Did a great job.
Yeah.
Thank you, Magoo. And thank you, Claudette.
I don't know.
Claudette came through with some hokey-colored roses for Mags. Which is really sweet. Boy, beautiful flowers. So many
that's,
nice
that you got your garden rock. For
Virginia Tech. Tremendous school.
My, my paw print.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I forgot the Mazaways. The Mazaways came through with a board with pictures.
He made sure that was known.
Who made sure it was known?
You.
Those were nice. You know who else came through for you?
Who?
I don't know. Let's check it out.
Oh. What up, Drew Lane? It's Pam Margera. I'm really sorry to hear about your dog. I know what it's like. My wife, Nikki, lost her dog, Penny Pitbull, and she was devastated. I lost my kitty cat named Whiskers.
Is this new, Pam?
It never gets easy. But
from rehab?
Yeah,
I hope you're doing
rehab.
Better. My buddy, Nappy,
seriously?
My neighbor, yeah. He lost
he
his
really
dog.
Like Max. To do this.
He went and instantly got a puppy of the new dog of the same kind, and it helped him out. But I don't know what to tell you. I just hope you're doing good. Cheers, Mon.
Thanks, Pam.
Good so I've learned, Cammy always tell me one thing with Mags' passing, is that when they don't know what to say, they're just going to relate it to themselves and somebody that they know whose pet had passed and give you advice of buying another dog.
Yeah, well, props to Sorbo.
Sorbo's is the best.
Kevin Sorbo,
I love Sorbo.
That was heartfelt.
Yeah, I thought Sorbs was very real. That was late in the podcast yesterday. And Cato Kalin, and who's the third?
Constantine
Maroulis.
And we all know, I mean, Sorbo's not that good of an actor, so it must have been sincere, right?
Could have been. It could have been Bam, as Dave points out here.
It could have been Bam.
I'm fascinated by the fact that he did a cameo for Mags. He was supposed to be in rehab like a week ago.
He's in rehab.
I think he is in rehab. That might have been shot in the bathroom.
But
rehab.
He's wearing sunglasses. He's got a goofy hat on. He looks like he's dressed up to go party, doesn't he?
It's a loose rehab. They allow cell phones and booze.
Wear that outfit again.
You have a mixer every night.
Maybe it's part of his therapy.
To look like he's ready to party?
Part of his therapy.
Yeah, look like you're going to party and then don't party and you get used to it.
Yeah, that'll cure you.
Well, Facebook Live is brought to you by Grow Green MI, the country's largest hydro store, where they buy in bulk and pass the savings on to you, the grower. And it's all about the latest LED technology this week with Next Light Megas for $10.50. Science Raging Kales for $4.50.
I don't know what that is, but that sounds awesome.
Fluent Spiders for $13.50. And the all-new Gavita for $17.
What?
Got Gavita 1700E for only $1,250.
That's it? That's all you for Gavita?
1700E? I mean, the name seems like it's worth more than $1,250.
Wow.
Bucks.
That's a great price.
Gavita 1700E for $1,250. Mention the podcast for a free shirt with any light purchase. Oh, hey, how about that?
And that green thing today was enough.
Deals keep coming, man.
Grow Green on M36 in Whitmore Lake or online at growgreenmi.com. Mention the Drew and Mike Show.
Luke. Green, 16, sat, hot.
And something else you want to mention is the promo code Drew when you're using MyBookie to make all those big NFL and college football bets. Any exciting bets this weekend? Any?
Oh, let's look.
Notre Dame was 18.5 last night, and they won by 18.
Oh.
Ooh. Tough loss for Vegas.
Well, the worst tough loss, though, was Northwestern and Stanford.
Oh, who won that game?
Stanford won, and they got a fumble at the very end of the game that pushed them to cover their 6.5.
Oh,
Northwestern was hanging
oh,
in.
Oh, that hurts.
They went 17-7, yeah.
How about Purdue losing? They were 5 touchdowns.
Who'd they lose
favorite?
To?
Nevada.
Purdue did.
Go Boilermakers!
They lost this on a 56-yard field goal at the gun.
Wait, that's a team that beat Ohio State last year.
Yes, but they also lost to Eastern last year, too.
How good is Purdue supposed to be this year?
Yeah, they're Purdue.
What happened to those superstar athletes that ran circles around Ohio
there.
State?
They're still there. They're learning that
Go
new
Boilermakers!
Offense. Jeff Brohm's new offense.
Big Ten,
still.
Baby.
Oh, boy. Well, so much to bet on with MyBookie. And, of course, it's a new season. And MyBookie is always the right play because you bet, you win, and they pay. And they pay fast. And also, they've got more things to bet on. They've got crazy prop bets. Anything you think you can bet on, I don't think we've been turned down by MyBookie. It seems that everything we've thought of, they've had.
Yeah.
They've got live in-game betting on every NFL game. They've got the most rewarding player perks in the business. And for you fantasy guys out there, you can even bet the over-under on how many fantasy points a player will score each game. Oh, my God. How much
fun
is that?
That sounds really addictive.
What?
Huh? That sounds great.
Up to $1,000 first deposit bonus. Double your first deposit, then double your paycheck. Use promo code Drew. Visit MyBookie online today. It's MyBookie. And don't forget to use the promo code Drew, DREW, when creating your account to claim the bonus. Read the instructions, though. You might not want the bonus. Some of you more experienced people. Bet, win, get paid with MyBookie.
You know when you might know if you have a problem is if you want to watch or and bet on the FIBA basketball games that are going on during the day. The U.S. had to win in double overtime.
Oh, boy.
Think you have a problem if you're gambling on that?
NFL know. Thursday. Bears and the Pack.
Is that the opener?
Yeah.
The Bears and the Packers?
Yeah.
Wow.
Fudge Packer.
How come the True. Patriots don't lead? Don't the Super Bowl champ usually get that opener?
I don't know. Not a sports podcast.
Green Bay Packers. Not sure. You like the Packers?
I have a bet
Should
for you
be
this
right?
weekend.
Should you have written something down by now?
Yes. Three things. I have a bet for you this weekend, Drew.
Yes.
Virginia Tech getting revenge on Old Dominion.
In Blacksburg,
what
right?
What do you think they're favored by?
28.5.
That's got to be the best bet anybody ever made.
I don't know. I'm not real high
I wouldn't touch
on my boys
all.
These days.
No.
I think Beam's got to come back.
Oh, boy. Well, today, kind of a weird start to the day as I read the Justin Bieber post that was trending on Twitter.
Yeah, it was interesting.
And I was really interested in it. And honestly, you know, I've read a lot about Justin Bieber. We've made fun of him. We've ragged the hell out of him.
Bieber.
The crying is what we've made fun of.
The
right?
crying. Well, and before that, too, it was just way overexposed. And it was like, come on, get this 15-year-old off. Does he have to be on every award show all the time?
Yeah.
And then, you know, he started getting in all that trouble. Mm-hmm. It was obvious this is a teenager with too much money who, you know, who can have any piece
Happens
of ass
of
he
them.
Wants. So, let me find the post.
Yeah, do you have his full post of what he wrote?
I did this morning.
I mean, I was making fun of him, too, for being with that cool
I'll print it out
pastor.
Oh,
he's hanging
yeah,
out with Mr. Cool Pastor, which kind of I don't think should pastors be that cool?
No. I don't know. I get concerned when, you know, people are in a position like Justin Bieber, who is like, you know, here, I'm the most empty person in the world and I have everything. And it all is going to be salvaged by this church.
That yeah.
doesn't always strike me as the, yeah. So here's the post. It's hard to get out of bed in the morning with the right attitude when you are overwhelmed with your life, your past, job, responsibilities, emotion, your family, finances, your relationships. When it feels like there's trouble after trouble after trouble.
Jeez, why don't you go cry about it?
Start foreseeing the day through
I will
lenses.
Say it's a little easier getting out of bed when you have that much money.
I think so,
even too. With trouble.
Agreed.
You start foreseeing the day through lenses of dread and anticipate another bad day. A cycle of feeling disappointment after disappointment. Sometimes it can... Oh, is this it?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just a little bit bigger easier. For you.
Yeah. Sometimes it can get to the point where you don't even want to live anymore, where you feel like it's never going to change. Wow. I can fully sympathize with you. I could not change my mindset. I'm fortunate to have people in my life that can continue to encourage me to keep going. You see, I have a lot of money, clothes, car, accolades, achievements, awards, and I was still unfulfilled.
Clothes were the second thing? Okay, I don't know. I'm, no, who am I to judge?
A little weird. Have you noticed the statistics of child stars and the outcome of their life? There's an insane pressure and responsibility to put on a child whose brain, emotions, frontal lobes, decision-making aren't developed yet. No rationality, defiant, rebellious, things all of us have to go through. But when you add the pressure of stardom, it does something to you that's quite unexplainable. I didn't grow up in a stable home. My parents were separated with no money, still young and rebellious as well. As my talent progressed and I became ultra successful, it happened within a strand of 2 years. My whole world was flipped on its head. I went from a 13-year-old boy from a small town to being praised left and right by the world with millions saying how much they loved me and how great I was.
I mean, that will mess up. Anyone.
How old is this kid?
Yeah, it will. I don't know about you, but humility comes with age. You hear these things enough as a young boy and you actually start believing it. Rationality comes with age and so does your decision-making process. One of the reasons you can't drink until you're 21. Everyone did everything for me, so I never even
learned. Wait, read that line again. About drinking at
21. Rationality comes with age and so does your decision-making process. One of the reasons you can't drink until you're 21.
In America. Okay. He's Canadian. I mean, they can drink at 19.
Well, Europe can drink here, though.
Europe could drink at what?
It's like 16.
Canada.
Everyone did everything for me, so I never learned the fundamentals of responsibility. So by this point, I was 18 with no skills in the real world, with millions of dollars and access to whatever I wanted. This is a scary concept for anyone.
What skills do you need? You already got it.
By 20, I had made every bad decision you could have thought of and went from one of the most loved and adored people in the world to the most ridiculed, judged, and hated person in the world. I would agree with that.
Mm-hmm.
Being on stage, according to studies, is a bigger dopamine rush than almost any other activity. So these massive ups and downs on their own are very hard to manage. You notice a lot of touring bands and people end up having a phase of drug abuse. And I believe it's due to not being able to manage the huge ups and downs that come with being an entertainer. I started doing pretty heavy drugs at 19, abused all my relationships. I became resentful, disrespectful to women, and angry. I became distant to everyone who loved me, and I was hiding behind a shell of a person that I'd become. Felt like I could never turn it around. It's taken me years to bounce back from all these terrible decisions, fix broken relationships, change relationship habits. Luckily, God blessed me with extraordinary people who love me for me. Now I'm navigating the best season of my life, marriage. Ooh,
yeah,
it's the best season of his life.
I guess he is. I guess he's still some growing to do. What?
He said that.
I have no skills.
That's what I was looking for.
Which is an amazing, crazy new responsibility. You learn patience, trust, commitment, kindness, humility, and all the things it looks like to be a good man. All this to say, even when the odds are against you, keep fighting. Jesus loves you. Be kind today. Be bold today. Love people today, not by your standards, but by God's perfect, unfailing love.
Oh, my God. He's so deep.
I mean, we could tell this guy was really struggling with life, and, you know, nobody...
That's some good thoughts that he put together.
I thought he did, too.
Thank you, oh, great master, for sharing your wisdom.
I didn't think it was preachy. This is firsthand. I mean, how many people have gone through what he's gone through?
I have some empathy for him because that must be a crazy life. And he seemingly developed this drug habit and
As far as the girls, how do you know when someone really does like you for you when you got all these people throwing themselves at you?
I know that
seems really nice, but...
Yeah, Selena Gomez, I mean, they're both on the same type of platform. It's not like they needed each other's money, and he threw her away. That's what he's talking about.
Who would think Justice Bieber at this point would be this self-aware, though? I mean, that's kind of the thing that amazes me.
I was impressed.
Now, he's
really
loaded,
was.
And he'll be fine. because he can get whatever help he needs because he is Justin Bieber.
Although he is.
Punk thinks his shit don't stink. Well, just to let you know,
your shit does stink. Seems like shit.
He is living with a Baldwin.
If he never did another record, how much is he worth now?
Oh, he's got plenty.
I think it's $250 million.
If he doesn't give it all to this church.
Which he will. We know he will, right?
He's in good financial shape, then.
He's still giving it all to that church.
Yeah.
Or his father-in-law.
Are you part of the cult? Are you in a trance right now?
I mean, I can't help but be a little concerned about that. He's gonna that end guy up, goes everywhere with him.
He's going to end up bankrupt, and Stephen Baldwin's going to have like five new movies where Justin's the executive producer.
You know what I thought of, though, as he was describing this phenomenon, particularly how young he was and how all these things happened, is these YouTubers, these Instagram stars. There's zillions of them, and they're all going through kind of the same thing.
I'll bring it up again. Look at Roland Winkler. Second Roland Winkler. Reference of the day.
Roll
up. You ready for a bomb?
He was a teenage.
What the hell happened that night?
Pinup guy. I don't know why, but he was.
You mean life? Life, not Roland.
No, Roland was too.
Roland was a pinup guy?
Yeah, Roland. Yeah.
You don't remember his roller skating?
Forgot about
recalling?
That.
Yeah, that's why they knew each other. They were both teen stars.
Wow.
How but weird. Leif Garrett's probably a better example because he developed a smack habit.
And I knew who he was.
Look, there's. Is that Roland?
No, whoa. That's Leif.
Oh, that's Leif?
Yeah.
You got to find the poster of Roland.
Roland is the guy. For those of you who don't know, Roland is the guy in Behind the Music. It's a famous scene when Leif Garrett is, they explain his whole horrible Bieber-like story, kind of. Except
I'm going to pull it up.
He was hot,
like,
man. Him and Archer at the time.
He's got all the girls. He's got hit records. He loses all the money, though. Somebody rips him off. And then he gets in a car accident, drunk and stoned, and he paralyzes his friend Roland.
Mm-hmm.
We were just talking about
what the hell happened that night.
And Roland, Behind the Music, reunites them after all these years because his lawyers wouldn't let him talk to Roland or apologize. Roland won all the money he had left. So Roland suddenly became a millionaire and they meet. And
it wasn't awkward at all.
Ready for a bomb?
It's so weird.
That's just like the coolest thing anyone's ever said to me.
1979, the night Leif, driving intoxicated, rolled his car, paralyzing his friend, Roland Winkler.
Thanks for listening to the podcast.
I'd love to sit down and talk with him. You know,
sounds like Dylan
sometime.
McKay.
But Leif admits
there's
fear has kept
picture,
him from reaching
Drew.
Out to his
Can't
old friend. It. And now, after two decades, he has no idea how to find him.
We found Roland.
What?
What?
Really?
Now he's bummed because he has to meet him.
He's good.
I didn't really mean it.
Is he?
Oh, he's good? Okay, cool. Don't hook us up.
It was news he wasn't prepared to hear.
He said he went through his hard times as well. But he said, you know what? I'm okay.
Cool. End of story.
Oh, my God. He's so deep.
But just days after learning of his whereabouts, Leif and Roland were on their way towards their first meeting in 20
that
years.
That won't be awkward at all.
Howard, at the same time as I'm nervous, I think it's a really positive thing to be doing.
Because there's cameras.
Hey, man.
What's up?
Roland's cool.
After 20
like
years
Rolo.
Of agonizing
cool.
silence, neither Leif nor Roland knew exactly what to say.
Awkward.
What's up?
So what's up?
Tripping.
How are you doing, tripping?
I'm nervous.
These producers made me meet with you. I really don't want to meet with you.
A lot of years, in between. I don't even know what to say.
This type of conversation probably ran through my mind a million times by now.
Yeah.
Here comes the best question.
I couldn't sleep a wink last night.
You know, one of the questions I got is, what the hell happened that night? I have no idea.
I was outside the car. And you were still in the car. You were screaming at me or yelling at me, straighten my legs out. And they already were. I mean, I knew right away that something was definitely wrong. I ran up the hill to use the call phone, called the police and ambulance. I've, for the longest time, wanted to tell you that I'm so sorry that this happened. I'm really sorry that
take
all
your time.
That
no could rush.
Couldn't
this
find
happened
him.
To you.
You slow and, down.
Call 911!
Ready for a bomb?
Huh?
You saved my life that night.
Wow. That's a twist.
You saved my life that night.
No. I don't know how you can tell me that you know, that incident changed you, you know, your life for the better.
It did. It made me work really hard on who the hell it was I am.
See, rolling rules.
You know what?
Turn Leif into
an
animal.
I would not trade places with you in that situation. If it came with $100 million, I wouldn't trade places with you in that situation.
That's just like the coolest thing anyone's ever said to me.
How many millions
remember
did
you remember one day you
get?
Came in when I was 100, in the hospital and gave me a radio?
For real?
Roland? Two million, I think.
It doesn't work very well.
Oh, that's sad. That part.
Oh, jeez.
Okay. Remember when you caught me with those mashed potatoes?
So there you go. There is the most awkward reunion in the history of the world.
There is no way Leif Garrett wanted to meet with him. I really don't believe that.
What year was that?
God, 98? No, yeah.
What does it matter?
I just wanted to know. I want to know what's up with Roland now.
Do you want to know how
he's dead?
He died.
How did he pass?
Okay, if it was, let's say, if it was like 1998 versus 2006, how would it be? How would that affect your feelings one way or the other?
I just wanted to know if that was about 20 years.
God takes, write it down.
I'm surprised you want to know what the runtime of the episode was.
By the way, I did not like Dave Chappelle's special.
What?
Oh.
Okay. Why?
Didn't like
Maz
it.
Is coming with a wild non sequitur.
No, I liked the beginning that we played and that I saw at the beginning, and then I thought it went downhill.
Okay.
You didn't like the thing about the LGBT car ride? Oh, my God, that is so funny.
He seemed bored to me.
Hmm.
I don't know.
Critics are lambasting it.
Well, yeah.
Rotten Tomatoes is giving it a zero.
I didn't like it.
Yeah, they gave it a but they didn't like it for a different reason, because it's not woke.
Since when is that Rotten Tomatoes job?
Drew,
isn't he supposed to be funny?
Did you read the critics' comments underneath it?
I did.
Yeah.
A zero. Really? A zero.
Well, no, because there were some like favorable ones, so I don't know why it's at a zero.
How about this? When you go to Netflix and put Chappelle in, that's like the fourth thing that comes up, yet it's the most recent.
Yeah, no, it is kind of hard.
I mean, it's buried.
You're right. It is kind of hard to find.
It's buried.
I did think his other Netflix special was better, and I do think the two old Showtime ones were better, but this was still top-notch. In an era where everyone is walking on eggshells, he's one guy who can say whatever he wants and can really speak to
the Michael
Jackson
stuff. Exhausted
majority.
I did.
I think it's really interesting to see that this morning. Actually, I saw it last night, and I was reading more of it this morning. Then I was reading the Vice story about South Park.
Mm-hmm.
And I just cannot believe that there's so many people who would suggest that these people will sacrifice anything to be funny. They don't care if people who exactly. aren't even watching their show could be hurt by their material.
Exactly.
If you don't like South Park, you don't have to watch South Park.
Correct.
So, okay, we know they push the line. They always have.
That comedy is supposed to make people uncomfortable and offend people and make people think.
This is what's different now. If your comedy... If let's say Dave Chappelle's in a nightclub, if that stuff would offend people who aren't in the nightclub, then it's also a problem.
Yeah, but that's not gonna work. It's not gonna go.
It's working. It's working on some people.
I give Netflix a lot of credit for signing them. I bet you it's doing huge for them.
Oh, I'm sure it is.
And now they have Eddie Murphy coming.
No, I'm sure it is. But
that I can't wait for
these people who suggest, and this is going on in college campuses where comedians have to go through their act before they will sign them, and they've pulled people off stage because they're hurting people.
Yeah.
If you're not gay, you can't make a gay joke because you can't understand how that joke feels.
Well, you heard him. He said it's hard to be a comedian these days. You could hardly be a comedian.
He absolutely addresses it. And you know, when we talk to
did you watch the after special, the Chappelle, where he took the Q&A?
I did not.
I didn't.
He's got a great story on there where he's on stage in San Francisco telling jokes, and there's a trans woman there, and he knew what was coming up.
Oh, yeah, because he's not good with the trans.
Yeah, so he knew that was coming up, and he's like, well, she's here. You know, fucking, I'm doing the jokes. and he starts telling the jokes, and he says that everybody in the audience would, like, look at her for permission to laugh.
Oh, boy.
And she was laughing harder than anybody. And it's just, go back and watch his story about it, because it's really interesting. This trans person is trying to become a comedian, and she was hanging out afterwards with Dave. And the story's really kind of enlightening that, you know what, maybe it is okay to laugh at certain things.
I love Chappelle. I just thought it was a little boring.
It's certainly okay to laugh at straight white men.
Of course.
In any regard, and that's fine. I don't care.
Well, it seems that, you know, it's okay to broad brush straight white men, exactly. too. Why is that okay? We've just been through all this thing where you can't do that to anyone.
Because we're on top.
Not all straight white men are on top.
I don't think we care.
That's ridiculous.
I don't think we care.
And we're, by the way, we don't meet either. We don't meet.
No.
You don't? Well,
we just don't care.
Generally, we're not a group that is...
We're not marginalized.
You know, it's like calling the baby boomers. But if you're of a low socioeconomic position, it doesn't matter what color you are. You're going to be fucking miserable. You don't want to hear people say, oh, my God, you're so privileged. Admit your privilege. Like, I can't pay the fucking electric bill. What are you talking about? Fuck you.
Point of personal privilege.
I grew up and was molested by my uncle for 10 years. And, you know, sorry. But because I'm white, you weren't molested. I'm more privileged than you are. Shouldn't you apologize for your privilege for not being molested?
Well, but it's the broad brushing of any general group.
Right, broad brushing.
Marginalized
is,
or otherwise. No, I think it's a little silly. You should be able to laugh at pretty much anything.
Colin Blunstone, not Colin Blunstone, Rod Argent of the Zombies coming up in a second. So, the dog days of summer are here, and that only means one thing. Zod, Chrysler, Jeep, Dodge, Ram is on fire with their summer clearance event as they get the 2020s in, and they need to get the 19s out, which means the deals are exceptional. So here you go. Lease a new 19 Jeep Compass as low as $166 a month, a 19 Jeep Grand Cherokee as low as $248 a month, and then Ram trucks. You lease a new 19 Ram 1500 Crew Cab Bighorn Edition as low as...
Bless you. Whoa, bless wow.
$149 a month during Zot's summer clearance event. The longer you wait, the fewer low price rides you will have to choose from. So don't delay. Surf their soon not to be massive inventories at dealsnadie.com. And Dr. Yaldo, we're urging you to call and ask about the $1,500 off. I have a new copy, though.
maybe it'll be answered. Maybe it won't.
Why is the Drew Mike podcast getting state of the art eye surgery from Dr. Yaldo? It's because, wait. Why is the Drew Mike podcast like getting state-of-the-art eye surgery from Dr. Yaldo? It's because we're both number one in our respective categories. Yes! Yeah! Is it convenience? Because you can listen to us whenever you want, just like you get precision vision 24/7 without having to first reach for your glasses or stuff the contacts in. That, too.
Read that again.
We both tell it like it is.
Like
we
that.
We don't bet with ads and promos like radio does, and Dr. Yaldo doesn't lure you in the promises of low-cost LASIK. There's a lot of noise out there about low-cost LASIK. You know, LASIK's something I don't think I'd look for discount.
Oh, gosh, no.
But then you go out there and find out what the real price is. Dr. Yaldo promises to beat any LASIK offer you get. He will be competitive, so don't worry about that. For those 45-plus with reading issues, listener Dave writes, I went for my one-year checkup after getting multifocal implants last year. I have 20/15 vision, both near and far, better than perfect. So get the best and pay the fair price to Dr. Yaldo. Again, he'll beat any LASIK offer you get. The evaluation is free. Call 1-800-398-EYES, 800-398-EYES, or go to YaldoEyeCenter.com.
Yaldo.
The Zombies with Brian Wilson. Mm-hmm. September the 24th.
We're the next to the last stop on Masonic. Their 15-city tour.
Yeah, 15 cities. That's kind of a short tour, but that's a pretty special get-together with Brian Wilson and... The Zombies, both in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Hey, this is Rod, and this is what I sound like. So I hope to hear from you.
That's
take
the
care.
Wrong Rod.
Not that Rod. Rod Argent is on the phone.
Hey.
Hey, Rod.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. We're listening to your keyboard solo from Hold Your Head Up.
Excellent. So you should.
Remember that edit version they used to play of this where they cut the solo off?
Yes, how dare they? And it was after that it became a hit. I can't understand it. They take 3 minutes out of the middle, the best 3 minutes in the song, and, well, there you go.
They did that a lot, though, because I remember Light My Fire did the same thing.
Yes, indeed. I mean, I can understand in a way why they did it, you know, but a lot of people, you know, play the long version, which is fantastic. Do you know, I had a... I had a great experience last Christmas. I was listening to the radio back in the UK, and Rick Wakeman was on a radio program, and he said to the DJ, I want you to play Argent's record, Hold Your Head Up. He said, and play it with the organ solo. It's the best organ solo that's ever been recorded. That was Rick Wakeman saying
that. That's cool. And you just happened to be listening to that?
I was.
Wow.
I couldn't believe it. I thought, what a lovely Christmas present.
How cool is that? Well, you know, we were talking about solos like yours. What are your favorite solos besides Hold Your Head Up? Do you have any favorites?
Oh, my goodness me. Do you know what? I'm right off the top of my head, I remember the first sort of, if you like, B3 sound that really happened on a pop record, and that was Keith Emerson when he was in the Nice, and he played a version of America, and I thought I thought it sounded fantastic, full of fire and musicality. I thought it was great. So I'm just off the top of my head, I'm going to choose that one.
Okay, how about players? Favorite players?
How about what?
Favorite players? Favorite keyboard players?
Favorite keyboard players?
Piano players?
I would say, oh my goodness, and it stretches across loads of things. I would definitely say Rick Wakeman. I would say Keith Emerson. I would say, stretching the field to more of a jazz thing, I would say the first time I heard Bill Evans play with Miles Davis, I was completely blown away. I loved Jimmy Smith the first time I heard it. That made me want to bring Hammond organ into a rock and roll format. It was hearing Walk on the Wild Side by Jimmy Smith.
Wow. September 24th, you guys, the Zombies, newly in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame with Brian Wilson. And what's your connection to Brian Wilson? Is it just that it's a good combination, or do you guys go back? I mean, do you have a connection to Brian? I'm sure you guys love each other's music.
Well, I mean, he's been complimentary to us, and he, in a recent book we had out, he said he loved our music. I've certainly loved Brian Wilson's music. I think he's a master of the structure of what happened in pop and rock music. Just wonderful, wonderful, intuitive talent, and moved things forward. So very much. Do you know, we weren't, what we're doing on the show with Brian is doing last year we celebrated Odyssey and Oracle. We got the original members back with our current band, and so that we could reproduce every single note that was on the original album, the extra overdubbed harmonies, the extra keyboard that I did on the original record, etc., etc. And that was meant to be it for the Odyssey and Oracle things, but then someone from Brian Wilson's camp reached out and said, we'd love you to do a tour with us. And we thought, well, we cannot turn that down. So this is the very final time that Odyssey and Oracle will ever be played in its entirety with the original players plus our current band, so that every harmony is there, every piece of keyboard, you know, every note on the original album. So I think there's a real musical tie-up in our musical interests, and it was something we couldn't turn down.
Regarding touring, I know the Zombies were scheduled to be on Woodstock 50, and I just was wondering if you had any comment about what a mess that was, or if you were still holding on hope to the very end to be pulled off.
I think it was such a shame. I mean, if you cast your mind back to the original Woodstock, I was over in Clive Davis's office with Chris Wyatt, and we had the number one record at the time with Time of the Season.
Mm-hmm.
And
great song.
Woodstock was going on that weekend, and we declined to go and see it at the time, which was, I can't believe it, but anyway, that happened. I know, it's absolutely crazy.
You got paid, didn't you?
Yeah, we did. I mean, the original Woodstock was a complete mess in terms of organization, and they didn't have all the permits, etc. And you know, those problems plagued this 50th anniversary. I would have loved to have been on that with, you know, that lineup with Carlos Santana, you know, who of course did She's Not There, one of my songs, And all the fantastic people that were going to be playing. I'm so sorry to have missed it. If there was any way that that could have gone on right to the very last minute, we would have been there. And not least because, I mean, you know, we were paid. Everybody was paid anyway. And we thought it's the least we can do, and it would have been a smashing thing to do. It would have been great. And I'm very, very sorry that it didn't happen.
Yeah, what a shame. And time of the season, by the way, the beginning of that song, it's one of those songs, all I have to hear is 1 second, and I know it's time of the season. I don't know how you came up with that or what we, I mean, you're trying to come up with a distinctive intro. It's different now. You know, you guys used to do those great intros, and now it seems like all the intros are 5 seconds long because I feel like they have to get to the vocal. It's not a long intro, but it's so unique.
Well, thank you very much. I mean, that was a combination of us really practicing the basic routine of the song, which didn't have the clap and didn't have the and it was just because we had some extra tracks in the studio, because for the first time we were working with 8 tracks rather than 4 tracks, that we put down the original version of the song. Jeff Emmerich did the engineering on that particular track. I loved the sound. I mean, what we'd rehearsed was the toms with the bass, you know, going boom, boom, boom. Just boom, 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 with the toms playing that as well. But he got a great sound on that. And then we recorded the whole thing, the whole of the instrumental part of it in, you know, the backing, within a couple of hours. But because we had the extra tracks, I said to Hugh, do you know what? I said, I can hear a clap preceding that backbeat and afterwards, and as a sort of mouth-type percussion thing. And he said, well, go and do it then. And it, honestly, I swear to you, it was once through.
Wow.
We just played it, and he said, yeah, sounds great. And that was it. And that made that very distinctive percussive sound.
I love that song, and I never really thought about, you know, that that's you guys going, until I saw the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame when you guys played it live. It's like, well, of course that's how they did it, which, I don't know. It just seems so simple, but kind of in a nice way. And that Hall of Fame performance was really good, but it was really cool to see Susanna Hoffs introduce you guys. And I got to say, Rod, I think she had the hots for you, man.
Who had the hots for me? So I missed
Susanna Hoffs. Susanna Hoffs from the Bangles.
Yeah, oh, man. Oh, she's such a sweetie. Oh,
I would have been beat red if I was you while she was talking.
She is fantastic. She's a lovely, lovely person. She's been to many of our gigs now. She discovered us quite late on, you know. Someone turned her on to us, and then she came. She's been to loads of our gigs, and we couldn't think of anyone better to introduce us. And she gave such a lovely speech.
She really did.
She was a huge Beatles fan too, and I know you played with Ringo. And what's up with you guys? Are you hooking up with Ringo anytime soon? Maybe after this.
I did the 2006 tour with him on the All-Star tour, and I was asked a couple of times after that for other ones, but it always clashed because we tour so much in the States now. We do about, you know, what I call the current band. We have a ball, and we play about 3 times a year in the States, and I think the band is better than it's ever been. And so I've never been able to fit that in. But, you know, I got a message from Ringo's people saying when he's playing at the Greek Theatre, which has happened now, he'd love you to, you know, just pop along and maybe play and sing on the last song.
That would be great.
A little help from my friends. But we were working that night. We were over here playing, so I couldn't do it. But, you know, he's still got all his passion for playing and everything. It's fantastic to see it, and he looks great.
Which drummer is more cantankerous to work with, Ringo Starr or Phil Collins?
Oh, they're both lovely in very different ways. They really are. I mean, I've known Phil for years, although I haven't actually seen him now for years. But I've known him right. Do you know, I went to a party with Phil Collins once, because my wife, who was started her life as a dancer, one of her compatriots was someone called Lavinia, who was an early love of Phil's. And so we met at a party, and he came up to me and said, I've just joined a band, you know. It's called Genesis.
Nice.
Wow.
But, he's always been a really, really smashing guy, but I haven't seen him for years now.
Did he ever tell you about that guy he saw die and then someone could have helped him? What was that?
Stop it, Mark.
What? No, it's a true story. In the air tonight. No,
Let me tell you about In the Air Tonight.
Oh, please.
You
saw it too?
I was sharing a manager with Phil when he was making that album. Now, Phil actually played on a solo album of mine, and he came up to my house so that I could play him over some of the songs that were on the album. And then at the end of the afternoon, he went up to the piano and said, I'm making a solo album, you know, and he started playing me some of the things on his first solo album, on the piano. Now, I heard the very first version of In the Air Tonight, which I thought was a really sweet song, but it was before they discovered that fantastic echo on the that huge drum fill, which just,
that one,
you know, took everyone by storm. And so I heard both versions, and it's just one of those things where it was such a cataclysmic moment, you know, when that comes in. So, yeah, I've got some lovely memories of Phil.
I want to ask you about Odyssey and Oracle because, you know, it's one of those records everyone just loves. People that love classic rock, it always rates real high when people rank them. And I saw you guys recorded at Abbey Road, which, of course, I thought was so cool. And did you play Lennon's Mellotron on that record?
I did, and I'm sorry, John, but thank you very much. I never asked him. It was just, we walked into Abbey Road literally the week after the Beatles had walked out, having finished Sgt. Pepper. Jeez. And we were the next band in there, and so we had the benefit of some of the technical advances they've made, of some of the engineers that have been working with them, and also some of the instruments they just left hanging around the studio. And one of those was a Mellotron. And I never asked anybody's permission. I just turned it on and used it. And of course, it's all over Odyssey and Oracle. And I'm so glad that happened. But I don't think he ever held it against me. I hope not. Because we heard years later that through Chris White, our bass player, that Lennon had said he would love to have produced us, but I never met John Lennon, so I didn't have a conversation with him about it.
How was the competition between you guys and the Beatles and some other British acts? It was tough to get out of there back in the day.
It's not a great line, so I said it again.
He was asking about the competition with the British bands. You know, we were talking about it before the show. With the Beatles and the Stones, it seems like they took up so much space. It seems like it would be hard for people to cut through, although they were signing
really?
All the British bands.
The Beatles actually in the UK hit about 2 years before they did in the US. So that was early 62. But they took the whole of the UK by storm, as they did the US, of course, as well.
Yeah.
But it really, I can't tell you. You'd have to be there at the time to. You could not overestimate the impression that they made on all the musicians playing rock and roll or starting up bands. You know, at that time, it was just cataclysmic. And they went on to take the world by storm, of course. But they were so honest in their playing, in the music they listened to, and how they transferred it to record that they're. Intuition, their inventiveness, it was just brilliant. And in a way, there wasn't much space for anybody else at those early 2 or 3 months. You know, they just took the whole place by so much storm. And they never looked back, you know. And even the Stones got their first hit record by the Beatles giving them, you know, I Want to Be Your Man. That was the Stones' first hit in the UK, his first real hit.
And speaking of British bands, I had no idea that you play the piano on Who Are You with The Who.
Yeah.
But I thought it was kind of it seemed like a funny story as to how you got that job, because the other guy broke his arm or something?
I just recorded an album for Roger Daltrey, one of the boys. And that we just finished that, and then Roger said, "I'd love you to play on the Who album." And you know, talk to Pete, and so I was going to play on every track. But what actually happened, they were going through a lot of political stuff at the time, and there were lots and lots of meetings going on, and the album did drag on a bit, and I had to say one day to Pete, I've committed to doing an album with Andrew Lloyd Webber, an album called Variations, which became a number one album in the UK, with Gary Moore, ooh, with his brother, Julian Lloyd Webber on cello, and Gary Moore, John Heisman from Coliseum, Barbara Thompson, and I'd agreed to do it as well. And I said to Pete, I'm going to have to leave next week and do that. I'd only done three tracks. I was actually also on Love Is Coming Down, even though I was never credited on that. They got a couple of the credits wrong, but I was definitely playing piano on that track. He said, well, wouldn't you rather be playing with us? I said, it's not a question of who I'd rather be playing with. I've committed to doing it. You know, I've got to do it. And I'm not going to let anybody down. So I ended up only playing on three tracks on that album.
Well, it's a good, great track to be on. Who Are You, for sure.
Yeah, still, wonderful still track to be on, yeah.
And to think, you know, all these bands we're talking about, you guys are still out here playing. You're playing over here. It's just incredible, and I just can't help thinking that you must just love doing it, because I just can't believe, McCartney and Ringo and the Stones and Townsend, and I just can't believe they're doing it for the money. I got to believe they just love doing this.
We are not doing it for the money. When I first came over, certainly with the Zombies, when I first came over in our reincarnation with when I met up with Colin again in the year, about the year 2000, first came to America in about 2004 again in that incarnation, and let me tell you, we had to capitalize those first two or three tours. We weren't doing it to make a buck. We were capitalizing it, and we just about broke even. I'm glad to say that now we have a very strong position in the US, and that's wonderful. And we certainly make a good living now from it. But it was because we actually still, you know, our last album was called Still Got That Hunger, and we have. And we were so knocked out when Billboard phoned us up in 2015 and said, we just wanted you to know that for the first time in 50 years, you have an album in the top 100 album sales chart. It's that sort of thing. I mean, don't get me wrong, I love playing all the old stuff. It's fantastic to go out there and play Time of the Season and hold your head up, as we usually do when we have space to do that, and everything else. But always within the context of knowing that we can energize ourselves still by creating and recording new stuff and playing it in front of audiences. We're going to be doing one song along with Odyssey and Oracle, and along with, you know, She's Not There and Tell Her No and everything, we'll be doing one song from that Still Got That Hunger album, and also a song that I only finished writing two weeks before we came over on tour. So no one would have heard that.
Wow. Well, it's fantastic, and it's so good to say that that you guys are in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame now, because it should have happened before, and I know you were nominated, but it was exciting to see it. Everybody was so happy for you, and of course, your fans. Yeah, and it's great to have you coming to Detroit one more time, and you'll probably come back the way you're going now. So thanks so much for your time, and we'll see you September 24th at Masonic with Brian Wilson. Wow, what a bill.
Oh, thank you so much. It was a pleasure. Thanks, man.
Thank you, Rod.
Thanks, Rod.
Okay, take care.
We'll see ya. Thanks for the time.
Bye.
What a guy.
Yeah, very cool.
Great accent.
Oh, awesome.
It's amazing how many of those British invasion guys just cross paths and record with each other. And
no, that's the thing nowadays. I mean, you put these bands are starting to tour together.
I mean, even recording, I had no idea he was on Who Are You?
I didn't know that either, and I was reading about him today and didn't even see that.
And the Wikipedia says he replaced the session keyboardist because that guy fell out of a cab and broke his arm.
Maybe they didn't tell Rod that.
Well, that's kind of,
I didn't want to make him think he was first choice.
Drew, I wanted to ask him that question. I didn't know how to bring that up, though. I was hoping he would.
I think Rod might have broke his arm. I think Rod might have went out and broke that guy's arm.
Yeah, it'd be a smart move. Although he got uncredited on one of the songs.
This is my favorite Zombies song here. I love this one.
Dick.
Is this the Monster Mash?
No, it's White Zombie.
No, it's the Zombies.
They're a derivative.
Shouldn't the Zombies play Zombie by
The Cranberries. That's what killed her. Should I have asked him if he killed Dolores O'Riordan? That would have gone way over his head. But it would have made me laugh.
You know, I saw the Rolling Stones. Somebody just put an article out about, you know, if you think classic rockers are dying, wait for the next decade. Yeah. And they run down the whole list of all of our favorite, you know,
Bob
classic
Dylan,
rocker guys.
78. Paul McCartney, 77. Paul Simon, 77. Ooh. Garfunkel. Who cares about Garfunkel? 77. Carole King. What are you, a big Garfunkel fan over there?
Or Art.
What did Garfunkel ever do?
You need to accept it.
Why does art mean so much to you?
I don't know. My buddy from the old days.
Carole King, 77. Brian Wilson, 77. Jagger, 76. Richard, 75.
Jagger's getting younger.
Love you, Jagger.
Joni Mitchell, 75. Paige, 75. Plant, 71. Ray Davies, 75.
Oh, boy.
Daltrey, 75.
Barry Manilow.
Daltrey, 75? He's got the chest of a 22-year-old.
I know. He's still unbuttons his shirt.
Pete Townsend, 74.
Frampton,
74. Rodgers, 75. Gilmore, 73. They're all in their 70s. Debbie Harry, Neil Young, Eric Clapton, Rod Stewart, Van Morrison, Brian Ferry.
Wow.
Elton.
Never thought of it that way, that these guys are going to be kicking soon.
It's really sad. Bruce, 69.
Almost 70.
Yep.
I know. And
Taylor,
and
Jackson Brown. Wow.
There's a ton more you could name that they didn't even name there.
Yeah.
It's and it does seem like they've been dropping like flies, and yet all those guys are still standing, still touring, almost all of them.
That's what keeps them going.
Who's going to fill that tour void?
Well, that, believe me, I bet a lot of people are not sleeping well at night thinking about that.
Well, there's Pearl Jam. I mean, they'll still tour.
Foo Fighters.
Foo Fighters will tour. Tool is touring and has a new album. I mean, there's still some bands
Woody
out
there. Woody and the Blowfish.
Green Day.
I think the point of the story was just that rock
Naked Ladies.
Rock and roll is dying, is what they were implying. Yeah. It's literally dying. And I don't agree with that. And
I don't think so either.
No. But there are just, you know, if you look at what's, you know, the top of the charts, yeah, it's just not rock and roll anymore.
But I think
that's all.
I think that's a chart
It's all
problem.
Rap and hip-hop.
Isn't that a streaming
much,
chart problem?
Yeah.
How they count it, maybe?
I guess it is. It's hard to say. It's such a weird time in music.
Bad time.
Anyway, what a pleasure to talk to Rod. Mm-hmm. Rod Argent from The Zombies. And we were supposed to talk to Colin Blundstone a while back. That didn't work out.
That didn't work out.
Either one of them is cool with me. And they do play all three.
Yeah, that didn't work out well, did it? That didn't work out well at all, did it?
They do play all through Odyssey and Oracle, which is that huge, huge album, which was a sleeper, didn't do that well out of the box. And then Time of the Season was not a hit in the UK, and then they re-released it a year later, and it was huge over here.
It's been in so many movies, too, hasn't it?
It has, yeah. That's a giant song.
I was looking at their set list, and of course it's all Zombies, but they do cover Hold Your Head Up, because that's just an Argent song,
yeah,
correct?
Rod.
But why don't they, I'm surprised they don't cover a God Gave Rock and Roll to You, because that's an Argent song, too.
You know, I saw that on some of their set lists. I just think with the Odyssey and Oracle thing, they're not doing it.
Do they sing with Brian Wilson at all? Do they do something with him during the concert?
I don't think so.
It doesn't look like it.
Not that I know of. Anyway, thank you, Rod. Trudy will be relaxed to hear that he was where he was supposed to be.
Sue, text her and let her know that it went off without a hitch so she can sleep well.
I want to go back to South Park because I know a lot of our audience loves South Park, and this conversation about Dave Chappelle, I'm still scratching my head after I saw those reviews and how horrible they were, because maybe Dave Chappelle can do a better show.
He could.
But if you're reviewing a comedy show, how you can give Dave Chappelle a zero is mind-boggling.
You have no sense of humor, and you're easily offended by you're offended by jokes about people that aren't you, I guess.
What are we judging people on now? How few people they offend, or how many people they laugh?
I just didn't think it was that funny.
Well, let's just set that aside for a second, because I don't think the problem is that I think plenty of people thought that thing was funny.
Yeah.
There's plenty to laugh at in there. I mean, if you put that up against all the comedy specials or all his comedy specials, it's certainly not a disaster.
No, it's very strong.
Yeah, but you know what he does? He goes after the cancel culture. He goes after the PC culture in this one, and he really kind of shames you for being this type of person.
Hey, if you do anything wrong in your life,
duh, and I find out about it, I'm going to try to take everything away from you. And I don't care when I find out. It could be today, tomorrow, 15, 20 years from now. If I find out, you're fucking duh, finished.
So people are on the defense because a lot of people are like that right now. That's what makes headlines. That's what...
But the Jussie Smollett is so strong. The whole like 10, 15 minutes of it. That
yeah. No, I mean, there's a ton of funny.
I find that funny. Smollett's an idiot.
Well, I can accept if someone doesn't think it's one of Dave's best specials. Okay. But it's not a zero.
No.
There's no way. And I don't understand what comedy is supposed to be funny. Now, of course, there's a line. But how far back do you move the line so that you don't offend anyone who, by the way, wouldn't watch the show anyway?
I don't think that's why. I don't think people were that offended by it. I really don't.
Well, okay, so you go back to his
you
last...
You think it's worth a zero?
I didn't think it was a zero, but I would give it a 5 out of a 10. I would give it a 5.
A 5 out of 10.
I want it to laugh.
Well, it's currently at a 0.
Yeah. I do not believe it's anywhere near a 0. I bet you could find shows by far lesser comedians that would do much better than a 0. But then, you know, when I read Brandon sent the Vice story on South Park, and I'm reading that, and I'm going, what are we talking about here? What is their job? Okay, just some of the comments Vice made about South Park. They were suggesting that South Park raised a generation of trolls.
And also cost you extra.
That South Park is the foundation for the alt-right created by two straight cisgender white men.
How? Wait. That is quite a leap to make.
It's a giant leap.
South Park created the alt-right?
The foundation for the alt-right created by two straight cisgender white men.
You could say that about anything that two cis, whatever that is, cisgender, what is cisgender? Whatever that
is. Do people really talk like this, by the way?
No, nobody does. No.
And then he goes on to rile up or bring Ricky Gervais and Seth MacFarlane, and Family Guy pushes the line, but God's Family Guy is funny. They rely on lazy stereotypes and a worldview that comes from a life enshrined in privilege. Enshrined in privilege. South Park. Wow. Treats PC culture as if it has little to do with empathy and everything to do with virtue signaling and punishing nonconformists.
Yeah, because empathy is not funny. The other stuff is.
I don't know about you, but frankly, I'm sick and tired of how minority groups are marginalized in today's society.
That's what's funny about it.
But then suggesting that South Park, you know, goes after PC culture, which they do, and PC culture, by the way, can be made very funny, and they do a great job of it, and they are a... an equal opportunity offender. It's not like they just go after PC culture. They go after the right. They go after the left. They'll go after anyone.
They go after the extremes.
And problem, bro.
And they're also very topical. They're right on it. I'm amazed how quickly they get an episode out about something that's happening now. But by going after PC culture, the author suggests that they are aligned with Donald Trump. So they're now political.
Okay, That reminds me, didn't Trey give an interview where he said he was Republican? So is that maybe the point?
I don't know, because I don't care what party he prefers. I think the show's funny. I watch it to get a laugh, and it makes me laugh.
Yeah.
So it's not – why does everything have to be so fucking complicated? They refuse to concede any personal freedom to accommodate others. Personal freedom, they mean as in freedom of speech or freedom of, you know, to make a joke. But when they say to accommodate others, they're talking about people who aren't watching. Yeah. People who are watching South Park are very happy. They're laughing. I don't know that last season was the best season, but they certainly are getting a lot of laughs. They were paid a lot of money in 2015, which, by the way, is also seems to be viewed as criminal that they now have money and they're making, you know, the same types of jokes.
Mm-hmm.
It's like once you have money, you can't do that. You're no longer an underdog. South Park.
Wait till this writer, if he ever makes money. Let's see if he ever changes.
As long as they are positioned as underdogs, they risk empowering those who seek to use their invented victimhood as a smokescreen for bigotry, just like Donald Trump. South Park acts like it's a rebel throwing rocks at the establishment rather than a platform for the grievances of two insanely rich straight white men.
Just remember that.
Well, you know what? It is their show, so sorry. Not sorry.
You know, by the way, straight white men. I mean, they make that sound like that is criminal. A rich straight white. First of all, both of them have earned everything they got. Mm. They fought. They had people who were trying to tear them down. They fought their way through it. You know, whether you like it or not, they did. And I'm sorry that they won, but they can't help the fact that they're straight. They can't help the fact that they're white. And I think the part where he accuses them of being rich.
What's the biggest problem there? Because would this guy or whoever wrote this article, because I'm thinking of maybe the opposite of that is Wanda Sykes, who is a lesbian and black and a woman. And I think Wanda's very, very funny. But she's rich. So is she allowed? Is her viewpoint count because she's rich now?
Well, she's not white and straight. So,
well, that's the point.
I don't know.
Is it more because they're white and straight or because they're rich?
I'm not sure what the hell he's talking about, because to me, South Park, as far as Matt and Trey, I would call them very successful and very funny.
Yeah,
that's what I would call them.
Sorry, not sorry.
They're all good to me. And okay, excuse me, I'm a straight white man. I know it's a crime, and I'm laughing at the work of two straight white men. But you know, we do tend to relate to people who are sort of like us. So I don't. That doesn't mean I can't laugh at Dave Chappelle, who I think is as funny as anyone. And that's his job. I thought being funny was a job, and it wasn't. I mean, they're making it so complicated now to make people laugh, because if you make the wrong people laugh about the wrong things, or the right people about the wrong things, or the wrong people about the right things, I mean, it's funny.
I don't think guys like Dave Chappelle and the South Park creators give a shit.
Exactly.
About what anyone thinks. I think they should just
let it. That's why they're so good.
Right, just let it be. And if you don't like it, don't watch.
Comedians are not supposed to give a shit. We're going to be stuck with a bunch of do you know who Hannah Gadsby is?
No.
She was on the top of like all these lists of the hottest comedian out there right now. And
oh, I'm sure she's hilarious.
She has a new special. And she's Australian, so she's also a lesbian. And
of course.
I gotta tell you, I kind of want, maybe we should play some of it, because I just sat there kind of like confused more than anything. Honestly, Drew, it didn't sound like a stand-up special. It sounded more like a lecture.
A lecture. Yeah, well, I mean, it seems that people love lectures nowadays. I mean, it seems that that's so popular. And, you know, we talked about, I don't want to get into Rup Raj's thing right now. And I don't want to glorify this guy that wrote this stupid post to him either. But it's like, oh, my God, people just loved this long lecture that Rup gave to this guy on Facebook who was basically trolling him, I think, as much as anything. So. Rup said something about tariffs, which I can't even find what he said about tariffs. And this guy didn't like it. And so he says, I don't know where you're from, but something to do with tariffs. And next time, do your homework before you speak out or something to that effect, you know, which is just rude. And
stay in your lane.
To be honest, I would be more annoyed by someone telling me to do my homework if I had done my homework.
Well, that's a number one thing on trolls.
I'm not rude.
Trolls love writing that.
Oh, yeah. No, I know they do.
No, my favorite troll comment is, who cares? It's like, well, you do, troll, because you commented on it.
Why did you bother? Anyway, let's come back to Hannah Gadsby in a second, because I want to explore that a little bit. If you've been waiting for the best time to get out of your lease early, your prayers have been answered, because here we go. Right now, our first and original podcast sponsor, Zot Ford & Holly, is pulling people ahead in their leases up to 6 months early with no penalties. Zot Ford will get you out of your current lease up to 6 months early. Over miles, vehicle hates you like Trudy's house hates her, or perhaps you're just ready for a fresh, shiny new vehicle. Regardless, Anthony Gabar, Gary, Jessica, Dan, or any member of the hottest sales staff in Oakland County is standing by, ready to snatch you out of your old turd mobile and send you home in a lovely new Ford of your dreams. As a matter of fact, if Stacy could get Mark to call her back, she would slap him in a fancy new fresh Ford today! Do you have 6 months
left? She left me one message.
Go surf their massive inventory and spectacular deals.
Yes, I'm due.
At dealsinthed.com today. We're in the dealsinthed.com studios, and we were talking to Rod Argent on the Hall Financial Hotline. Yeah. Hall Financial, where you get lower payments, better options, more personal attention. And, oh, so many people are contacting them through these podcasts, or at least three, because the fourth one wasn't on this week.
Oh, good job.
Hoping it's back very soon, because they've been getting some tips over to Hall Financial, too. In fact, ML got refinanced through Hall Financial, and he's very happy because he's saving money.
He refinances his, what do you call it, those the heater, the new sun.
Solar panel?
Solar panels, yeah.
I think he just refinanced his house, didn't he?
He absolutely did.
So he's delighted. He's saving money, as are so many other people, because Hall Financial will shop around for you. It's not going to be take it or leave it. They're going to look. And, in fact, if you had a little trouble with credit, which some people have, they've gone to bat for those people and found somebody who was able to make it work and save them money or get them a mortgage on their first home or their dream home. Hall Financial, go to drewandmike.hallfg.com or go to our website. Click the link. Fill out the online form. They'll get back to you. And they'll get back fast. Over 750 five-star reviews. Go to drewandmike.hallfg.com for Hall Financial. You won't be disappointed. NMLS number 1414674-35. Oh, breaking news. Breaking network news.
It's right here, some breaking news from the Red Shovel Network. And shit.
The decision, this is from Deadline Detroit, Fox 2 abruptly suspends ML Ulrich's popular podcast. A decision by Fox 2, they got a picture of ML too, that's a funny picture they got.
I bet you he loves that picture.
He's wearing sunglasses and it's kind of shot from below.
Yeah.
But there's the Fox mic looks giant.
Yeah.
Fox 2 microphone.
It's a perfect picture to use.
Decision by Fox 2 to abruptly suspend reporter ML Ulrich's successful weekly podcast, Soul of Detroit, is shrouded in mystery. Ulrich has been broadcasting since February on Drew Lane's Red Shovel Network podcast group. With his station's permission, abruptly announced last Friday on Facebook, it's with great regret that I write my podcast, ML Soul of Detroit, is on pause until further notice.
Hyenas?
Ulrich had been given the green light to be part of the podcast network by Fox 2 general manager Mike Renda, who retired in June. First podcast was in February and was seen by the station as a way to help promote Ulrich and itself. Ulrich appealed to a prize winner.
And as he likes to say, and an Emmy Award winner.
Who has worked for Fox 2 since 2012.
Which someday, if you ever run into ML, ask him about the Emmy Awards.
Referred Deadline Detroit to Fox 2
big scam.
For comment on Tuesday. I've heard that from a few people.
Well, yeah, okay.
The affiliate's new general manager did not immediately return a call requesting a comment. Some of Ulrich's supporters responded to his Facebook post with dismay, and one was far as to speculate. Conspiracy theory. The new boss is in cahoots with DTE. You expose them, and they're shutting you down.
Cahoots.
Seriously, I want to speak to whoever's in command.
That's a drop.
The comment refers to an August 1 podcast.
I want to talk to somebody in command.
It's him.
Yeah, that's the guy. He doesn't even have a computer.
First of August 1st, and... Fight the Power, in which Ulrich talked about DTE's steep rate hikes and compared its record with other utilities when it comes to restoring power. Utility advertises on Fox 2. A DTE spokesperson said the energy company played no role in the decision to suspend the podcast. We've not had any conversations with any media outlet regarding ML Ulrich or his podcast, he said in a statement.
Uh-huh. I don't know. I have no idea.
Pete Turns, it's the spokesman. Maybe
played no role.
I don't know.
Yeah, well,
also did a provocative podcast on former Detroit Mayor Kwame Kilpatrick in June and August and debated current mayoral chief of staff Alexis Wiley in April about a free press story on her boss, Mike Duggan.
Those are all good shows, too.
Everyone was better than the next, right?
Yeah, it's always the best.
The one on the Manoogian Mansion party was two weeks ago. It's over 50,000 downloads.
Yeah, I thought that was good.
Our Rachel Lambert calls podcasts of other local personalities, including former Fox 2 reporter Charlie Duff, a Deadline Detroit columnist. Land of former sportscaster.
I knew that was nice.
Sports radio.
I knew that was going to
help
you.
Oh, that hurts, Drew. How could they?
You want him to issue a retraction?
No, that's okay.
Don't they know it's not a sports
podcast? I like
the
story. No, apparently not. Well, former sportscaster and WRFM co-host Mike Clark issued a statement to Deadline Detroit. Oh, wow. I spent a long time trying to get ML to do this.
You're surprised that Lane, whoever this former sportscaster Lane is, issued a statement.
Where did this come from?
That's quite a statement.
I spent a long time trying to get ML to do this, and I knew it would be great. Then it took months to get through red tape to approve it with Fox 2. It was worth the wait. The Soul of Detroit took off. And 2 weeks ago, 50,000 people downloaded. Thanks for listening to the podcast. 99% of all podcasts will never do that. Mark Fellhauer and Sean Windsor have poured their hearts into this, and the show also has picked up advertisers.
You spelled Sean's name wrong. Right, so
oh, shoot. I know better.
They should look at it.
Well, he's quoting this Lane, this former sportscaster.
Yeah.
My understanding is...
Sportscasters don't know how to spell.
I think the voice is, my understanding is there's a new sheriff.
My understanding is there's a new sheriff at Fox 2, and ML has been asked to take a pause while Fox 2 decides whether this is okay going forward. We all have to answer to someone. He has respectfully put on the brakes. After all the hard work, chemistry, and hustle it took to get the Soul of Detroit where it is, obviously this really hurts. I hope we get it going again soon because the show has legs and gets better all the time. ML is an important voice in Detroit, and hearing him in this format was fantastic. I thought you say so myself. Well, that's a great story.
I think you should have read that through the megaphone myself. I think we missed a golden opportunity there.
There's always next time.
Okay.
Well, wow, that was breaking news. Wow. Is that fresh off the press?
Yeah, it is.
That sportscaster is right on it.
Oh, good God.
That's right.
Sports radio.
I have no idea what's going on. It's crazy.
Luke Nowacki wants to help you if you haven't really settled on any kind of financial future or financial plan. Or maybe you've changed jobs once or twice. Maybe you've got a couple different 401ks. Maybe you don't have a 529 and you've got kids going to college. It sounds, you know, when you say 529, it sounds complicated. It's really very simple, and he can make it happen fast, as he's done for many of our people. Or just coming up with a plan, or you're a double income household and for some reason you're struggling to pay the bills. Well, maybe you should talk to Luke Nowacki. His team would love to help you at 248-663-4748. Sometimes it's just having another brain get involved. Love to help you fix things and work on your financial future and planning. Security Investment Advisory Services offered through Royal Alliance Associates Incorporated, member FINRA, SIPC, Royal Alliance Associates Incorporated, separately owned other entities, and our marketing names, product services, reference here, are independent of Royal Alliance Associates Incorporated. You know, sometimes there's a way to save money on taxes or just little things that they can do to make it work a little better for you. So
I love saving money.
Think about Luke, if you're thinking about that. So, I was going to talk about...
How about that?
What's her name? Gadsby. But I can't remember her name because... but I've read multiple stories...
Hannah Gadsby.
What's her name?
Hannah
Gadsby. Okay, I've read a lot of stories lately. I think I talked about the one that said, 10 women podcasters you should be listening to. And the story went on to talk about how women podcasters are being cheated and there's just not enough of them.
Yeah,
and unfortunately... I'm not buying it because this is a democracy. Nobody stops anyone from starting a podcast.
No, it's hard to break
into. So what the hell is – why do people keep saying that? And I read another story about how minority podcasts, there aren't enough of them. Whose fault is that?
Just give up, man.
Well, no, I'm just pointing out. And then when you mentioned Hannah Gadsby, I think I know that name because honestly – there are some female comedians that there seems to be a real push from certain parts of the media where they're going, these people are funny. Why aren't you paying attention?
I tried.
And then I listen to them and I go, why are we pretending this person is funny? If they're funny, it'll happen.
But look, I'm not her audience, and I guess she has one, and that's great. But I'm not going to sit here and rate it a zero like some people want to rate the comedian.
Who's that broad?
Here's the trailer for...
Does she have a special on Netflix?
Netflix, yeah. And it did really well. It won awards.
Okay, well, that's fine.
I don't feel comfortable in a small town. I get a bit tense, mainly because I'm in this situation. And in a small town, that's all right from a distance. People are like, oh, good bloke.
Ha, 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 ha.
They confuse her as a man.
I'm being mistaken for a man. I wouldn't want to be a straight white man. Not if you paid me. Although the pay would be substantially better.
Ha, 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 ha.
I do think I have to quit comedy, though. And it's probably not the forum to make such an announcement, is it? I have built a career out of self-deprecating humour, and I simply will not do that anymore, not to myself or anybody who identifies with me.
Is that a stand-up or is that a lecture?
Do you understand what self-deprecation means? It's not humility. It's humiliation.
Self-deprecation is humiliation?
I don't know. I don't get it.
Because what I would have done to have heard a story like mine.
That sounds hilarious.
Ha, 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 ha. Why is everybody laughing and cheering?
That's a stand-up special.
What does that have on Rotten Tomatoes?
Oh, I'm sure 100%.
Just curious.
I'll look it up.
Well, it might be funny after her speech. It might get funny.
Tom, I'm telling you, I watched a fair amount of this, and I sat like this the whole time going, why am I being lectured?
Oh, yeah, that's that.
Lecturing is popular. I'm telling you, people love to lecture.
That's funny. She triggered me and hurt my feelings, but I don't count.
Oh, you're a straight white man, asshole.
I'll teach you.
Hey, you can't call me that. Because sure you are one, too.
You're the only person I can call an asshole by your identification.
So lame. Okay. Hey, what do you think it has on Rotten Tomatoes? Don't look, Tom.
100.
Is it an 88?
Tom?
I'll go 92. Looked. No, I swear. I can't see.
100%.
Oh, wow. Fuck me. Are you kidding? Can we listen to more?
What do you think the audience gave it?
40.
I'm going to say 88.
60.
60.
Still not bad.
I see. So what does that tell us? Critics feel they're supposed to like certain things, not actually like certain things.
Well, what did the critics...
Dave Chappelle is a 0, and she's a 100.
What did the audience give Chappelle? What did the audience give Chappelle?
There is no audience score, audience which measurement. Is amazing. It moves modern comedy into nakedly honest new territory, pivoting from dry humor to raw, powerful storytelling. I want funny stories.
Who cares?
If it's stand-up comedy, it's supposed to be funny.
I thought so, too.
Mel's right on.
Apparently, we
comment.
Need to know, you know.
Oh, let's hear some more. This sounds really special.
Okay,
it sounds like something I need to hear.
More funny.
Let me pull up. I got to pull up Netflix.
I need to hear more.
All right, give me a second.
I just want to hear.
Almost as hilarious as your face.
I just want to hear like 75 seconds. No more, no less.
Do you want me to like jump in the middle of it?
Just a clip.
Okay. I got to get some Netflix tape.
So funny, I forgot to laugh.
You can jump in the middle.
All right.
Just a minute. Just a minute of it. I just want to hear what's so special.
Yeah, I mean, you're one of those impatient people. It's taking a while. Okay, here we go.
Is there something on YouTube we could watch besides Netflix? Why don't we go to YouTube?
Well, I'm on Netflix now.
Slow down.
Oh, Hannah.
Oh, this is where, apparently this is where I stopped.
Why did you
10 minutes
to
in.
Tell me that. That's ha, not ha, something ha, I need to know.
Ha, 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 ha.
I mean, what if I told you I was a murderer? It's still funny.
Tell me what's funny.
And it's a fair call. Murderer. Murderer.
You know, it's not funny,
you
but
would
I'm.
Hope that's a funny.
You know, I get it.
All right, whatever.
You've had enough already?
Yeah. It's really hard. I'm going to watch it later.
You sound like
no, you're not.
Blah, blah, blah. I reckon I've been slacking off in recent years with my lesbian content. I don't think I've been representing my people as much as I should be. You know, last year, my grandma asked me if I had a boyfriend.
What?
And I realized in that moment that I'd quite forgotten to come out to grandma.
There's a guy in the front row laughing very hard.
Ah, good one.
I think I thought I'll wait till it comes up in conversation. But it never does. But finally it did. But I did not take the opportunity.
How long you been waiting to crack out that gem?
I'm done. I'm
okay.
Done.
Nice job!
I mean, none
of you!
It sounds like the crowd is just uproariously laughing.
Hannah,
I'm not the audience. I don't get it. So
no,
good for her.
I'm not going to say that it's not funny because it's not. I'm not hurt. But, you know,
if
this
anything,
is what bothers me about these Chappelle detractors
exactly.
is this isn't funny to people that don't like Dave Chappelle. It minimizes them and it detracts from them, and he should give up more of his personal freedom to make them less hurt. See, I don't even think he hurts people with his comedy, honestly.
Point of privilege.
Well, he hurts the tease, he said.
Yeah. Point of personal privilege.
Tease.
I don't know.
I thought that whole part about the car with the LGB and the T was really
It was very
unique and funny.
Clever, and it was.
And honestly, I think a lot of that's very true because the T's aren't so... They don't always get along with all the G's
well,
and
there's
the
not
L's.
As many T's.
No.
Oh, I know,
LBGs.
But they
well, I always
they
figure
always get, they unfairly get grouped together.
You know what's silly? I always think that minorities, just by nature, that they would all support each other.
Yeah.
It doesn't quite cool. work out that way.
Yeah, I wonder why.
And
maybe because they're pissed because you didn't go all the way.
What do you mean?
If you're not a T.
No, you meant like. There's
oh, I mean, like, you know, the
black
like
people.
Blacks and Arabics in Chicago have
or
problems.
Or Koreans and blacks in L.A.
Hey, watch the Arab stuff.
What's that stand for? Lazy goof-off buffoons and transgender?
There's a lot of, there's just a lot, you know, gays and blacks.
Yeah.
Blacks in the gay community.
They shot down the big, they overturned gay marriage in California.
It's interesting, though, that the black community doesn't really get criticized for it.
Well,
not a lot.
I don't know.
I mean, not that I really care. I'm not really out to go, oh, my God, black community. I'm not looking to lecture the black community. I just point these things out.
It seems odd from being the white, straight, cisgender men that we are.
I suppose. I have no right to say that.
Yeah.
Why am I cisgender? Am I cisgender? Am I something I don't even know?
I don't know. Are you fluid? Tell me.
What does cisgender mean?
I think it's you are locked into your one gender.
Yeah, it means
I'm locked.
It means you are you're a white male who was born straight. You're a white male. You're a straight white male.
Why am I cisgender? Why am I just not a white straight male?
Why don't you just?
Why are Matt and Trey cisgender? Why does that make it so much worse?
Because the black straight female is cisgender as well.
Because your gender identity matches the sex that you were assigned at birth.
Doesn't straight say the same thing?
No. Gender and sexual preference are different.
Oh, God.
Well, you can be a man and be gay. You can be a trans woman and not be gay. I don't make the rules.
I wouldn't have thought about it, except that the vice author referred to Matt and Trey as cisgender white males.
Yeah.
So I just thought.
What if that word? When was that word born?
What did that add to? If they'd use the word straight instead of cisgender, what's the difference?
Nobody understands it.
When was cisgender?
I would know that they're heterosexual if they said straight white males. I knew that anyway. I didn't need any kind of label because I know them. But when they said cisgender, I thought, oh, is there something I don't know about these guys?
Well, straight is your sexual preference.
Right.
Cisgender is that you're locked into your gender.
You were born a male and you feel like a male, so you're a cisgender.
So a transitioned female to male.
Oh, because they haven't transitioned to be that gender.
Yeah.
Really? Are there so many people who are changing genders that we have to call people?
Enough that it gets its own word.
Yeah. Well,
I'm not objecting to the own word, but
we have to
identify people as not having changed their gender.
I don't know, because most people don't know what it means or care to know what it means.
I mean, that's a lot of work.
Well, the assumption they want to get rid of the assumption that which is the majority of people are the gender that they were assigned at birth.
They are.
No, I know a vast majority.
Right.
Like 90%.
Well, we don't want to think that.
I think it's more than that because there's only, maybe 2 million trans in this country?
What's got two thumbs and a deep respect for gender equality.
Those are self-reported. We're
not supposed to think that it's the most common thing, even though it is.
Yeah.
I see. Okay. That's an interesting line of thought.
I mean, you could be pansexual.
Okay. What's pansexual?
That's where you'll have sex with anyone. So it's not bisexual because...
Is that Miley Cyrus?
Yes, she's pansexual. Cyrus. So is the lead singer of that one band who's really theatrical. What's that dude's name?
Adam Lambert?
Yeah, close enough.
All right.
They got a band that does High Hopes, whatever that song is.
John Travolta's new movie is a bomb. It's just a bomb.
But Fred Durst directed it.
What's wrong with him? Like,
Fred Durst directed it?
I thought so.
Yeah, yeah.
It did like $10,000 over
worse
the
weekend. Than Battlefield Earth.
Yes. What's wrong with him?
Well, it's going to be way worse.
Like the wind. I had a funny haircut. No one sees
it's called The Fanatic. Yeah, he's got a bowl haircut. He looks ridiculous.
He had that great promotional appearance on MTV's Video
Awards. It was in one movie theater, and I think it's going to video next week.
It's bad.
Please welcome the wickedly talented one and only Adele Dazeem.
Is he over? Can we declare him over?
No.
I don't think so. I don't think he's over.
What has he done?
Now, Face Off.
I haven't seen Gotti yet.
Face Off. Face Off was eight decades ago.
I know, but it was a comeback. 30s. It was a comeback.
By the way, on Rotten Tomatoes, anybody want to guess The Fanatic? Both fan and critic.
It actually made it to Rotten Tomatoes?
It's got to be zero.
6%.
6%.
Two.
I'm
going to go zeros across the board.
18.
Okay, so it's better than the Chappelle stand-up.
Yeah, about 18% better.
What did Gotti get for him?
Oh,
it wasn't that bad. That wasn't horrible.
I didn't see it. I wanted to see it.
Did you see it?
But they said it's so bad, I haven't watched it.
No, it's not that bad.
You saw it, Drew?
Yeah.
Oh. It got zero.
Gotti got zero.
Wasn't it on Netflix or something?
I don't think
so. It was in theaters, was it?
I tried to get it, and it was like,
maybe I saw it on demand. I don't even remember.
You got a zero from the critics, 47 from the audience.
How bad could it be?
It could be pretty bad.
Yeah, and it's hard, you know.
I'm declaring him over. I'm sorry.
Some of those movies are so well done, like Goodfellas.
Of course.
I thought the one about the Canadian mafia, the Rizzuto family on Netflix, is fantastic. Bad Blood.
Oh, I forgot. Travolta did do the O.J. Simpson one.
Yeah, he was good in that.
Okay. He's done nothing.
I didn't think he was great.
In Pulp Fiction, he's good.
It was 94. Face Off 97, by the way. That violates your
Dave Chappelle's a zero.
Yeah.
Face Off's a 97.
You didn't like him in Hairspray?
No. I mean 1997.
Hairspray.
Oh, okay. That was only 21 years ago.
He was in The Thin Red Line.
I'm a big fan of that.
Someone's got to give him another shot.
He's got a ton of them.
He needs another shot.
I
love Travolta.
Tom, do you take Kelly to be your wife?
I totally do. I mean, yeah, yes, absolutely. And I'm going to do stuff to her, too, like touch her. Yeah, touch her and kiss her and touch her penis. I mean, no, not that.
Is that Family Guy?
Yeah. Not a lot of laughs.
There's that privileged, enshrined in privilege. Yeah. Privilege. There was a big to-do today on The View. It came back for the first time. Oh, the girls were clucking. First of all, Whoopi Goldberg called out Deborah Messing brought up blacklisting. And Susan Sarandon compared Deborah Messing to Donald Trump, which I thought was hilarious.
Wait, how so? How did she compare?
I guess by trying to isolate certain people and discriminate against them by not working with them, by creating a blacklist. I don't know.
My favorite part of that.
I don't vote with my vagina.
My favorite part of that is still Deborah Messing trying to pivot to, there's more important things in the world.
Yeah, no, then why'd you bring it up?
You dope. Yeah.
And Will McCormick, by the way, this idea that he's going to decide that nobody works with these people. Why is he so powerful?
Not even relevant.
Who is he?
When was the last time
he did one TV show? Did he do anything else?
I'm going to look
that I know of.
I bet you, I'm just going to say he was in a movie that you've seen. I don't know.
Probably. I don't have anything against the guy. I'm just like, since when does he run all this?
Why can't they just shut up?
He's not. He's Canadian.
Well, that's even more outrageous.
He doesn't even know.
Canadians don't usually make noise like
Born
that.
Born in Toronto and he lives in Vancouver.
Well,
I take it back. I don't think he's ever been in a movie or a show that you've seen.
Is he really popular and I don't know it?
Will and Grace
I know it was a popular show. I'm aware of that. It rebooted, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Is it still around?
Do well? Is it a reboot?
Is it still around? Yeah. Got me.
You know what I noticed? Deborah Messing pulled a Paul McCartney here on Twitter, too.
I'm trending. Thanks, Trump. This, however, is not about Trump. This is about you.
She's pivoting.
First, I want to thank you for all of your comments.
She's all yours.
Blah, blah, blah. Over the past few hours.
Anyway.
I wanted to find a way to...
Let's call her.
All I hear coming out of your mouth is blah, 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 blah. I don't know what the hell you're saying. Just shut up.
This woman... She's a basket case.
So she let, just like Sir Paul McCartney did, she left a message for us to text.
Okay, let's hear what else she says.
Can we call it?
How long is this stupid message?
It's over in 30 seconds.
Okay, thanks.
Twitter is great, but I wanted a way to communicate about issues and to go more deeply than we can
on Twitter. She's a low IQ individual.
Text me. Doesn't that sound crazy? My number is 646.
What?
766.
Let's call her.
1007.
She's basically a disaster.
There's no other time more important than now for us all to stick together.
What?
I look forward to hearing
from you.
Why
are we going to text
you? She's a total failure.
Why are we texting her?
I don't know. Let's call her instead.
How does she even get on television?
I'm sure no one else did.
She and Eric McCormick wanted the Trump donors to be named publicly so they could not work with them ever again.
Doxed and
blacklisted.
She's a woman that's been very ineffective, other than she's got a big mouth.
Hi there. It's Deborah. Yep, that's right. It's me. I'm not going to be listening to this because I'm only going to be reading your texts.
Yeah.
So please text me.
She doesn't tell
the
facts.
Wait. Bye.
What is she
going to do? Believe me, she would not be my first choice.
What is she going to do with all these texts? How dumb is this?
I don't know. And you know 90% of them are going to be trolls.
So it doesn't help her
you
cause
think that little?
When The View thinks it's ridiculous. Called out by Susan Sarandon. And then The View continues to get into a big clucking war because Meghan McCain, they're going on and on about the Texas shooting.
Yeah.
Which, you know, is horrible. I agree.
The newest one, right?
Yes.
Yeah, Odessa, not El Paso.
And the shooter failed a background check. Apparently, did he get his gun at a gun show?
You know what? I don't know where he got it from.
I read that there was a loophole, and he got the assault weapon at a gun show. Now,
he also called 911.
Yeah, before he shot anybody.
Yeah, which is it's just awful.
No, honestly.
And I feel bad for everybody shot, but sorry, I know you didn't want to go down this angle, but the fact that those two officers are pulling him over and they just think it's a failure to signal to change the lane, and he just opens fire on him, how horrific.
I know. And he was shooting his rifle out of his window of that POS house or whatever he lived in, and he threatened his neighbor, brought a rifle over to her place and threatened her. She called the police. She said they never came. She said it's very hard to find the address. Texas. You know, this is such a no more guns for you. He also had a previous arrest for something, but he failed the background check.
Yeah.
But he then went to a gun show and got his gun and had himself a good old time. I noticed, too, that the police in Odessa wouldn't name him in the original.
Really?
Yeah, they said, we're not going to do what he wants us to do, which is name him. And then later on, they did have to name him on their, I guess, their post.
What does that do, just not naming him?
I don't know. I appreciate it because I do feel that there is some joy in knowing that you're going to get all this attention for some of these people.
But everyone hates him. He's an asshole.
But they have their fans.
Yeah, but there's far more people that hate him.
Well, I do think they like the attention, though.
I think you need to know everything about a shooter and what makes them click.
Well, I think some people should know everything about them.
Also, then if you see someone acting like that who's shooting at their neighbors or threatening to shoot, then you'll say something.
How are you going to talk to his neighbors about what kind of neighbor he was if you don't know his name?
That's my point, yeah.
How complicated.
He was a quiet
guy. Most of these people, it's not that complicated. They got a million weapons, and they talk out their ass about, they're wacky. Mm-hmm. They're nutty. Anyway, Meghan McCain is, of course, supporting gun rights, and the other four want this background check bill, which 90% of the country supports. And this is why, you know, honestly, I said this a long time ago, and I still agree. Whatever the will of the country is, I feel like we ought to do. If most of the people, we're talking about 90% here, we're not talking about 51%.
Yeah.
And the recent polls, and, you know, I've been following these polls because I do believe, you know, this is not my favorite topic. It's not a topic that means a lot to me, but I think if most people feel a certain way, it's what we should do. And generally speaking, people were not in favor of banning assault weapons. Recently, that has changed, and I don't know if that's because there have been a bunch of shootings lately or what that is. But
I don't get it. What?
Anyway, Meghan McCain.
Need them for?
Meghan McCain ends up saying that. And I'm not trying to pile onto her. I just think her comments are kind of funny.
Is she the right spokesperson?
You want to hear it?
Probably not.
Oh, okay. Cool.
Keep voting for Republicans, you're going to get nothing done. That's basically the bottom line.
When it comes to assault weapons?
Yes.
Define assault weapons.
This crowd's a very representative sample, too. I want you to know that.
It's the most popular gun in America by far. So if you're talking about, again, I was just in the middle of nowhere, Wyoming. If you're talking around going and taking people's guns away from them, there's going to be a lot of violence.
We've lived without them for many years during the ban.
I'm not living without...
Jeez, there's a lot.
Who is talking about taking guns away from anyone? Jesus Christ.
Motivated.
By the way, threatening violence, it doesn't make the people who are going to create the violence.
Exactly.
They're discussing, though, specifically the AR-15. If it gets banned, what, do people get grandfathered, or do you take them away from people?
You got to give them up.
That's what she's talking about. Yeah. You can't go and say, I want your gun, because there's going to be pushback on that.
Well,
there's buyback programs they can initiate.
But also, the assault... I'm sorry you went down this track. the assault weapons ban, though, they didn't go collect assault weapons from people from 1994 to 2004. They just didn't sell any. Isn't that what they did?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay, well, that's one way of doing it.
So this is
slippery
this,
slope.
This is the quote here that has her currently the top trending in all of America right now.
Okie dokie.
Many years during the ban.
I'm not living without guns. I mean, I,
but not
that
all
simple.
Guns. What about living without the assault weapons that are killing
popular,
our children?
All right.
But what about
right.
living without
right.
just that?
How
gun?
About we live right. in a? How about we live
I'm not being
in a place?
Virtue signaled at 20 minutes into the.
How about we live in a
back.
Place where we can actually walk in a mall and not look around and be nervous that someone's going to pull out a shotgun? Because that's where I was.
Wait, time out. Do you honestly do that when you
no,
walk?
No, I don't. No, okay. no I don't. They're not that commonplace. I mean, let's not be silly about
now
this.
Now you're talking shotguns. Shotguns aren't AR-15.
No, it's absolutely a great point. But when you go to like a Michigan football game, are you worried that I'm not? I'm not going to live
no,
my life.
No, not really. I don't know. I just don't expect anything to get done, so it's I feel silly even just, wasting my time talking about it. I just thought it was funny that she said, sorry. I'm not living without guns.
Sorry, play the rest. I'll shut up.
I mean, it just sounds kind of funny, doesn't it? I'm not living without guns. Okay. Oh, first of all, she's not going to have to live without guns unless she commits a felony.
They want our guns!
Even then.
If you're an upstanding citizen and you want to have a gun and it's allowed, then go for it.
She also said she spent most of her break shooting.
Okay. Well,
they've been on for a couple of months. What, she just shoots all day?
In the middle of Nowheresville, Wyoming, like she said.
A lot of people shoot.
All day for 2 months?
It's not how I would spend my cisgender white male vacation.
If she wants to do that and she's not breaking laws, I don't really give a shit. It just seems like I've never seen anybody who wanted a gun so bad. She's not living without guns. Yeah. She's going to kill herself if she doesn't
obviously
have a gun.
Got a lot of
but not with a gun. She is.
Herself.
Yeah, she's got a lot of stress.
She's going to have to kill herself with an overdose.
She also said this.
1776 will commence again if you try to take our firearms.
Yeah, there's going to be a lot of violence.
Well, to wrap all this and stand-up comedy together, I think people should watch Colin Quinn if you like Colin Quinn. His Red State, Blue State comedy stand-up is actually really good, where he kind of rags on both sides. I thought it was good. I don't know. If you like Colin Quinn.
Brandon, do you have the 911 call from yesterday? This is the Arkansas woman who does drown and die. Ugh. She's in her truck. The truck is filling up with water. She drove into a flash flood, I guess, and it came on really fast, as they do sometimes. And so she's in her truck. The water is getting higher, she's calling 911, and the 911 girl is on her last day. And you can tell it's her last day because she really isn't very nice. In fact, at one point she says, I didn't even see it coming. It just came up on me. And she says, well, obviously you did because you drove right over it.
Oh,
I mean,
God.
The 911 operator is the biggest bitch.
Let me guess. She's not suspended or she hasn't been
fired.
It was
her last day.
Oh, it was?
Yeah.
Yeah.
911, we're here, emergency. I have an emergency, a severe emergency. I'm in a flooding. My car is veered off the road while I'm doing my newspapers, and I'm flooded over here on the end of Kincaid, and it's all the way up to my windows, and I can't get out, and I'm scared to death, ma'am. Can you please help me? Really bad.
I need you to calm down. I need you to tell me where you are.
I don't know, ma'am. I'm on the end of Kincaid down here by these apartments. There's some apartments on Kincaid. I don't know what they're called.
Look how they're
Park Avenue. On the other side of Kincaid, at the very end of Kincaid Street, there's some apartments, and I
right.
thought
Do
I
you have a dark blue car, is what I'm asking you? What color is your vehicle?
Yeah, dark. It's a gray SUV, laying the mortar's all the way up to my windows.
Okay, hold on for me. Don't hang up.
Okay. And it's coming in my windows. I mean, I'm floating in water right now, ma'am.
And you're at close to the area, 5801 Kincaid?
Yes, ma'am. I need help right now. I'm soaking wet. I'm sick, and I don't know what to do, ma'am.
Okay, what's your name?
Debbie Stevens. Please help me. I don't want to die.
You're not going to die. Hold on for a minute.
Well, I need to. I'm scared. I'm sorry. I didn't know the water. I couldn't see the water when I came up on it, man. It just all of a sudden hit me.
And you're in a gray van?
Oh, I'm in a gray SUV. I'm on the
street. Take your time. Slow down. Don't tell her help's on the way, by the way.
And you are a paper person?
Yes, I'm a paper person. Please send somebody fast to get me. I'm scared.
Paper
I can't
calm
swim. I can't swim. I'm going to
papers
drown.
Are ruined.
You're not going to drown. Just calm down.
Well, ma'am, it's on the way.
How does she know this? She didn't.
Stan, hold on for me.
I'm scared.
Up, okay?
I'm sorry.
It's fine to be scared. You have a right to be scared.
I'm scared.
Oh, my gosh. You can't get the doors open?
Did you go off the road into a ditch?
No, ma'am. I was in the parking lot of the apartment cutting through to go to my paper route because I couldn't go down 66th Street because it was flooded. And when I got to the end, I couldn't see the water in that driveway. And there was water everywhere. And it just took me away and started pulling me and stuff. sucking me in, and then my car died. How long is it going to be, man? My phone's going to die, and I can't charge it. It's going to get wet. It's all the way up to my neck almost.
Oh, my God.
Hold on for me.
Hello?
I'm listening to you. So I said, hold on for me.
You're there? Oh, God, please help me. Lord, please help me. I don't want to die.
Miss Debbie, I need you to calm down and hold on, okay?
Oh, I'm scared, ma'am. I'm sorry. I'm scared. I need the cops to come get me. I need somebody to help me. I'm scared.
Are you the only one in the vehicle?
Yes, I'm the only one in the vehicle with all my papers floating around me.
What is she
okay,
doing?
Listen to me. Make sure
yes,
you're
ma'am.
In the area of 5801 Kincaid.
I don't know where 5801 Kincaid is. I don't know. I just know there's two sets of apartments
no,
over
know,
there.
She's not sure. Listen to me. If you're doing the paper, yes. You got to know at least a little bit of where you are.
I can do this paper route over here, ma'am. I was cutting through to go to my paper route because I couldn't get down 60.
Tell me what you see then. What do you see?
There's some apartments because all I see is some apartments. I don't know the names of any of these apartments
what
over
the
here.
What does the apartment complex look like?
I can't see them, but man, there's two sets of apartment complexes, one on the right and one on the left. And I'm in the back side of them back here in a bunch of grass. Looks like a bunch of trees.
Okay. I'm going to send somebody out there to you, okay?
What? Oh, thanks.
Jeez.
Wow, that's
it's
nice.
It's getting up to me.
Wait,
I'm
this is 4 minutes. 4 minutes in, she now decides yeah, to send
that's
someone?
That's nice.
How long is it going to take?
I mean, they knew there was flooding around.
She doesn't have an officer available.
I'm going to try to get somebody out there
to
you. Just call them, okay?
I'm going to die. It's all the way up to my windows. I'm going to die.
I can't die.
Oh, my God.
We're not going to listen to it all, but it goes on for another 15 minutes there on the phone. Let's just keep it on for a second.
Tell me that.
Die.
She's in the car for 20 minutes?
Yeah. Well, on the phone
ma'am,
with 911 with this lady.
Ma'am.
They can't get her anybody?
Listen to me, Miss Debbie. Just stay on the phone with me. I'm going to get somebody out there to you. Just hold on.
My
don't hang up.
My phone's going to die, ma'am, because it's going to run my phone, because my phone's going to get wet.
Hold on for me.
I'm going to get out and swim. If I could, I would.
She can't swim.
But I don't know how to swim, God. Baby. I'm scared.
She can't swim.
There's people over there watching me, and they're probably laughing. They're over there looking at me.
She's got to take a chance.
People are looking at you, and they're not going
to
help you.
Two sets of cars over there, and they're just all looking at me like I'm stupid. I couldn't help it. I love it. They just started pulling me down the road.
Okay, hold on for me.
What is she doing?
I got my lights on in my car. That's the only thing you can see.
The what in the car? Or lights?
Help. It's getting bad. It's all because my steering wheel. I'm going to drown. Please help me. Please help me. How long is it going
to
be, please?
Listen to me.
So
listen
she couldn't get out the
wall. I need you to calm down and hold on.
Okay? I'm scared, man.
I understand
sorry.
That you're scared, but there's nothing I can do sitting in a chair, so you're going to have to hold on, and I'm going to send you somebody, okay?
I'm going to send you somebody.
Maybe have some empathy. Could she not get out the window and stand on top of the car?
That's what I was thinking.
Hello?
That's what I would have told her. I would have said, get out the window and get on top of the car.
And if the water's not that high, she doesn't need to know how to swim. Couldn't she just walk? I mean, I don't
ma'am,
know. I don't know the setup.
I would think the car would float.
I understand. Hold on for me.
I don't think this operator really is too worried about helping her, to be honest.
I'm
going
to let you die.
Oh, ma'am, I don't want to die. I'm sorry, but I don't want to die today.
You're not going to die.
My SUV is ruined.
Yeah, SUV's ruined. Oh, boy.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Somebody
it is weird
me.
That she's worried about her phone, too. But I guess I get it.
Somewhere in the next 14 minutes, there's several.
She wants to call her mother. That's why she's worried about her phone.
There's several other lines that made people very upset with this 911 operator.
Such as?
Including, I don't know why you're freaking out. It's okay. I know the water's high, but it's going to be fine. And then you're freaking out, and all you're doing is losing your own oxygen. So just calm down. And then at one point, she says, well, this will teach you next time, don't drive in the water.
Yeah.
Bitch.
She also says something about her phone is going to be wet and she won't be able to call her mother and her phone will be ruined. She says, well, you think you're going to die a minute ago. Why are you worried about your phone? Wow. Which I understand what she meant, but
that's what I mean
just
about being
really
about
was
phone,
not
but
long on compassion.
That's the one. Isn't that one of the jobs where you're supposed to just be as compassionate as humanly possible?
She asked her to pray with her and she goes, yeah, go ahead. No. Oh. you start it. No. He's like, you start it. I'll go.
I can't believe she died, though. That is...
I know. It just got worse and worse. I was really, it was funny. I was, well, it wasn't funny at all.
I'm having a hard time listening to it.
I was already upset about Mags when, because I think I heard this on Saturday, and I was really not feeling it. And then I started listening to this, and it's like, oh, my God, yeah. The world is a horrible place.
Well,
which it can be.
Segueing to other wet phones that someone didn't die and is utterly hilarious. Did you see the video? Actually, you know what, Brandon? Pull it up on Twitter. Just search, I think, David Wallace, D-A-V-I-D, Wallace, W-A-L-L-I-S, and what's the Hurricane Dorian? And see if you can put the video that David recorded on Palm Beach shore of his buddy. And it's, I guess, another girl.
Was this the guy that got swept away?
Yeah, I was hoping to find a... Because on Twitter, cool. There's a much longer video.
Yeah, they're on a pier. And the waves are huge. They're all around them. But, you know, he's got to get some pictures, of course.
I know. And it's... I could not stop laughing at this because...
Is it this one?
Yeah, let's try that one. I think it is. Yeah, they're on the pier. Big waves.
I can't imagine being on that pier. This is an older guy, too.
Yeah, so the one girl's walking out there. She's holding her shoes. Here comes a big wave. Whoa!
Oh, see ya!
Took him out by the leg and then took him down into the water. And he's holding on to his phone the whole time.
Uh-oh.
You dope
asshole. Hold on tight. Hold on.
Look at her holding onto a pole. Like,
there's little kids out there, too. I mean, the guy's fine. He's walking up the beach now. But rewind it because it's just a great video. I love watching his legs get taken out. Here comes a big wave. Heads up, my man.
I know, he needed to put his head down. He'd be easy to tackle if he was coming through the line.
Watch it again, and the wave kind of comes at it, and he just kind of does the most nonchalant turn, like he's just going to get a little splash. And then it's a secondary wave that really takes his leg out.
See ya!
Sweeps him off.
Sweep the leg.
Still got that phone in his hand, though.
Ginger Z was not happy with him on Good Morning America. She had him on lecture.
Much farther out, there is not this morning, and this is only going to get worse today.
Good Morning
Our high
America
time
loves
happens just
video.
Before noon. You pair that with the piling of
well,
water
they can lecture.
On the order of 2 to 4
It's a lecture opportunity.
It should be, yeah.
It's going to be a problem. And look at this. We saw a lot of folks yesterday doing just what this man is doing, sitting out on the piers and the jetties, taking pictures and looking.
Oh, he lost his sunglasses,
and then this
too,
happens.
By the way.
He is so fortunate that he is alive and well today because you don't want
to
be doing
to be
that.
Dead.
It is only going to get worse. The beach is not the place, and certainly not a pier or jetty.
He did grab
down.
His
Even though you are there right now.
You're right, Brandon. He lost his flip-flop, though. His flip-flop went floating away.
It's funny that she's lecturing this guy, and she's standing there.
Yeah,
she's on the beach.
She paid me there.
She's Ginger.
She's a professional.
Boy. Let's see.
Don't play games with it.
I do.
Do you have to play in soft rock, man?
I do. And I have a special show and tell as well.
What?
Wait, you have today in soft rock?
And show and tell?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Are you positive about that?
Yeah, I got a late one.
Oh, okay.
Because he texted both
of me. He wanted to apologize to Brandon for sending it late, but he did send a late one.
All right, well, let's do today in soft rock, then.
We can do that. I think you're going to really like my show and tell. I think it's... Well, I
got please oversell it, whatever it is. Just oversell
topical.
Please, Tom, tell us what happened today.
This is Today in Soft Rock back when I was in the hospital, when I was sick. We're bringing you back to life.
Oh, I see.
It's 2 weeks ago in Soft Rock.
Bringing you back to life this week.
Of course it is.
Ha, 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 ha.
We didn't want to waste Matt's work, so I'm like, how about the time when I was sick? So here we go. We're going to start in 1972 for... well, Jefferson Airplane ran into some trouble.
Must be in mid to late August, right?
August 21st.
Okay, great.
Just a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
Airplane ran into some trouble with the Akron, Ohio police. Paul Cantor is roughed up. Jack Cassidy arrested and dragged off stage. And Grace Slick, running at police with her mouth wide open, was maced. She assumed they were spraying alcohol.
Oh!
It was believed to be because her equipment manager called some of the police officers pigs.
Oh.
But actually, it was because the
She's
band really started
failure.
To suck.
Hey!
Ha 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 ha.
Ha
ha ha ha ha.
Good one.
Ha 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 ha.
Okay. Let's
slow down. Take your time between segments.
Let's move on to 1976 here. The Rolling Stones appear in front of 200,000 fans with Todd Rundgren, Lynyrd Skynyrd, 10cc, and others at England's annual Nebworth Festival.
What year is this?
Love you, 76.
So the concert was falsely advertised as the last Stones show ever to be held in Britain. They quickly changed that advertisement to, "You know how I know you're gay? You came to see 10cc's.
Ha, 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 ha.
Okay.
Ha, 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 ha,
maybe we should have left this one buried.
Is 10cc that? They make good videos. Maybe that's, maybe that's how we connected it.
In 1979, Gary Newman's single Cars was released.
Cares.
Here am I, Care.
And it's Cares.
Here am I,
Care. Care. In Cares.
We go to 87 now. The movie Dirty Dancing was released.
Wait, did I miss
Gary?
Yeah, whatever to Gary Newman.
What happened to Cars?
No, I just wanted to say it was released.
Oh, okay. 2 weeks ago in 1979.
2 weeks
in
1979. So we go to 87.
40 years and 2 weeks ago.
Dirty Dancing was released. Featured some of the softest songs ever made.
It did.
Like The Time of My Life by Bill Medley and Jennifer Warren. Hungry Eyes by Eric Carmen. And, of course, the softest of them all. She's Like the Wind by the great Patrick Swayze. Such a great movie. I remember
Nobody
the movie tagline.
In a corner.
It was so moving. Nothing could tear them apart but B-U-T-T, cancer.
Good one. That was dark.
That was dark.
Wow.
Oh, come on. Jeez. That wasn't nice.
You can't separate yourself from that.
Maz is getting angry at Matt live.
Yeah, I know.
Matt, it's the first time he realized.
Well, Matt does all the writing.
Come on, Matt.
And time just reads embarrassing. What happened this week.
Or 2 weeks ago.
And other genres of music.
Speaking of butts, in 1993, Michael Jackson's Neverland Ranch was raided by police after a child who stayed there comes forward with molestation allegations.
My penis? My buttocks?
Jackson lets police strip search him, which he finds very humiliating. Some sources say the strip search led to pictures. I haven't seen these pictures, but from what I hear, they were pretty revealing.
Ooh!
Let me put it to you this way. If they were Polaroids, bada boom, bada bing, he's off to Acapulco.
Ooh. Good job.
My shoulder. I think I should have left this one buried in
August. He would have been off to Acapulco.
See, I'm trying to get to the end here.
By the way, Jordan Chandler correctly identified his penis.
Yeah.
He got thrown off, though, because they asked him if he had an erection, and he didn't know what that meant. And he said no.
Ugh.
Or no, he said yes. He said yes.
Wait, but if he didn't?
Huh? No, he said yeah. He said he
must have said no.
No, I think he asked if he was circumcised. Maybe that's what it was. He got hung up on one detail. But otherwise, he correctly identified his penis in some identifying characteristics.
Wait, so was Jackson circed?
Because of the
I think he's uncirced.
Because it looked like a cow. Because you know.
Oh, the gateway box, like Clark used to say.
What I always call the Tiglio.
Yeah, that's right.
We go to 2012. Keeping in the Jackson genre, Lisa Marie Presley made her Grand Ole Opry debut, where she wowed the sold-out audience by performing three songs from her current album entitled "I'm Broke, I Suck, and Do You Have $5 I Can Borrow."
Nobody thought this would last.
Good one.
Good one.
And finally, in 2016, the tragically hip Call It Quits as they play their final concert in lead singer Gord Downie's hometown of Kingston, Ontario. Downie was diagnosed with terminal brain cancer in December of 2015, making it only fitting that they changed their tour name on the final show to The Tragically Sick.
Hey!
Hey, hashtag, hashtag too soon.
And that's what happened today,
nice
August
job!
21st.
None of you.
Be more funny.
Sorry, guys.
Should've
I left
can't
that
believe that guy did that tour. I saw a documentary.
Lord, yeah.
Yeah, that was wow.
Seemed like a
man.
Great dude, too.
Oh, here we go. Hold
on. Oh,
no. Show and tell. Yeah.
Just a game on, Drew.
What I want to say.
Come on now.
Girl,
look at me.
Show
I'm
me.
Looking for the trash can.
Me.
I was cleaning the house in the summer of Mass.
Seems like I feel a quid pro quo coming.
It totally is.
I found this under my bed.
Oh, well, then it must be important.
This was under my bed.
How can you part
You're
with
out
it?
Of here, trash.
I
been under your
it.
Bed for all this time. How can you possibly part
are,
with
are
it?
Are you ready for this?
It's got to be porn, right?
Watch this. Read this, bro.
Oh, no. Why is it always a whole thing? Why is it always a whole production?
Prisoner name, were she?
The above prisoner. I've been looking for this.
Yeah, we wondered where this went. Tom stole it.
Tom stole the white boy Rick.
The paintings. The
artwork
the
that he wanted Bugs to auction off.
Yeah.
I had no idea why I had this.
Nobody knows why you had it.
Well, here it is.
Why was it under your bed?
I don't know. I must have brought it home after the 105.1 collapsed.
I have a theory.
Yes.
There were several other posters and or papers that he put in that case, and the painting just went along with it.
Now,
it was two paintings of, what, Bugs Bunny and Taz?
Yeah.
And they're wearing, like...
Lions.
Yeah.
And this is like most things that Maz brings over here. I don't know what to do with this. What am I supposed to do with this? Do I have to get it framed?
Put it under. I know what you should do with it. You should put it under your bed.
That's from the jail. It's phenomenal.
Put it under your bed.
But are you going to miss it? Aren't you going to miss
prisoner's it? Prisoner's name, Worshi.
I know. I get it. But aren't you going to miss this?
That's what he's most amazed at is that white, it's from white jail. Boy.
Look, Raymond Yee gave it to us. He's a designated person.
You went to the trouble to take it home, put it under the bed. It must mean, aren't you going to miss this?
You know, I am going
to
miss it.
Why don't you get it framed and hang it up?
Well, like if you're going to miss it,
I'd do it.
Because I wouldn't really miss it.
How about I frame these like and we put them in the studio here?
I think we should hold on to them, though. I was wondering, because, you know, Rick is going to be out next year. He's actually going to be out in a few months.
But he said he wanted us to auction these off.
Yeah.
I don't know. That seemed like a lot of
work. Look at this, Drew. It's a signature.
Well, especially when they're under Tom's bed.
An autographed cardboard from White Boy Rick.
Maybe you could put it on...
You're more interested in the packaging than the actual artwork.
Maybe Righteous Rick. Maybe Righteous Rick can get some.
Why? Because his name's Rick?
Maybe.
Makes no sense.
Maybe you could trade it to Aaron Carter for... along with like a few of his pictures back and get some money.
I like that. I like that idea. Is there any way I can make anything on this?
I don't know.
Go ahead, try
I really don't. It's interesting.
Isn't that pretty cool?
Did Kathy know under the bed?
She didn't know what
it
was.
What else is under this bed?
Why were you under the bed?
Because we painted the room. Well, Kathy painted the room.
That's so right. We remember.
We had to move everything out, and before you know it, I found this, and I found all my pennants from back in my kid day.
Wow.
Yeah.
Why were they under the bed?
I had them in a plastic underneath the bed so they wouldn't get ruined.
I see.
They're still in perfect condition.
By the way,
condition.
What a nice picture that is. Look at that.
I mean, they've been hung and they're discolored, but they're still beautiful.
Really? Do they have value?
I think
emotional
they do.
Value?
I just don't know how to make money on them.
Well.
I guarantee you they're worth good money.
Could we package them with the White Boy Rick stuff?
Maybe. I have the whole USFL collection.
Wait. What, let me look this up. What is it now?
Look at 1969 through 72. NFL pennants.
NFL.
Yeah. Like, I have the 72 Dolphins, the undefeated pennant.
So you're going to have enough room on the screen for all the numbers, for the value?
I don't know.
You can buy them on Amazon for $113.
See? Each?
No, the whole thing. Or $90 on Etsy.
No.
Or $40 on eBay.
They're way worth more than that.
What are you talking about?
I have
You should hang on to them for another decade at least.
You think?
Look at there.
See what the USFL is worth.
They're making you like $23 a decade.
See what the USFL is worth, the entire USFL.
They're not taking up any space. Look at that. Isn't this what you're talking about? The vintage? I have some of these at home, too, by the way.
Those.
Actually, it's like $27 a decade.
What are they selling those for?
$41 on eBay.
A piece, right?
$41?
Vintage NFL.
That's only...
a piece.
That's only like $13.70 a decade.
Vintage NFL small pennant lot.
No, not small. Large. Not many pennants. If anyone has any pennant ideas for me, please get in touch with me. I really do want to sell them. Our buddy in Chicago, Mark, might want to help me sell them. Windy City Sports, Mark.
Is there a quid pro quo?
No. No.
Look. Why are you making him do it?
Because that's his thing. That's his thing. I don't know how to do this.
It's called the internet. You don't have eBay or
I got
Craigslist.
That. I got my Rick Worshi thing here.
Lord.
Is this breaking news?
Well, it's from the Metro Times, and it just hit a couple hours ago.
Kid Rock, please go after your four-show run at DTE Energy Music Theater.
What an editorial.
By Geraldine Jordan. Kid Rock claims to be many things. One minute he's rock and roll Jesus. Another he's a cowboy, an American badass, a proud redneck, and a theatrical contender for a seat in the U.S. Senate. What he really is, a right-wing apologist, former champion of the Confederate flag, sexist, transphobic shit-talker who, despite his homegrown claims of being straight out of the trailer, grew up in a sprawling 5,600-square-foot estate in Macomb County, complete with an apple orchard and an indoor jacuzzi room.
Yeah, you know what?
Well, that jacuzzi room really... I was going to forgive him until she brought up the jacuzzi room.
But this whole thing about where he grew up and the whole trailer thing, you know what? His real name isn't Kid Rock either. So
no.
It's not?
No, but the whole point being, the whole image of Kid Rock might not be 100% of who, you know, Bob Ritchie is.
Well, it's kind of a character, I think. I don't know.
He's got it going now, though.
Kid Rock, he's a I've lost my train of thought. What he really is, is a total bullshit artist, and that's why people love him so. Robert Kid Rock Ritchie represents the bombast of Trump's America and is the musical equivalent of a DUI with all the charm of a human cigarette. Good news, though. In the last year, both Kid's childhood estate and his Detroit River digs have been put on the market, which might put some distance between Detroit and the country rock rapper who once had a sex tape bleep of him enjoying a backstage BJ from some groupies alongside Creed frontman Scott Stapp.
Mm-hmm. And then the story goes, doors open at 7:30 Friday, September 2nd. It just goes right into I'm just surprised that Metro Times would just go after Kid Rock like that.
Everyone went after him when he performed at Little Caesars Arena.
Yeah,
they wanted to block him.
That's why I find it so frustrating when these people who I really like, because I like Kid Rock and I like him personally. We've met him. He's a nice person. Very nice. He's a lot of fun to be around. Mm-hmm. He used to text with Mike Clark.
Yeah,
yeah.
He texts with Meltdown, I think, to this day.
Yeah,
and he's really a good guy. Now, I realize especially with the Senate run, it seems to me, he moved into a category that is completely different, where he is a conservative, a Trump supporter, and that brings so much hate on a person.
It's really intriguing that editorial didn't mention all the charity work he's done for multiple charities around the city.
No, they never mentioned that. And, in fact, he was so pissed when, you know, the paper said, having Kid Rock at the first show loses a middle finger to the city of Detroit. Mm-hmm. And I forgot how much money he'd given to Detroit, but it was quite a bit. I think a couple million bucks, at least. And I remember when he did those shows at Comerica because he wanted to help Detroit in the middle of the summer, which is kind of a slow time down there in that neck of the woods, unless there's a ball game. So they had all those vendors out there, and you know, a lot of people made a lot of money because he chose to do those shows there. And he's done it since then, too. And he's been a big supporter of Detroit.
Can you tell Kid Rock to call me?
So, you know, say it's a middle finger. And then none of his charities stood up for him either.
I know.
So he
said, fine, no more money for you.
No more money for you.
Which I kind of appreciate that he does that.
I don't know why that amused me.
Because it's just, they're in it for the money then.
And
they don't care where it comes from.
It seems like it would have been a good time to say, you know, he does do some really nice things too, and he did this, but they didn't want to get in the way of that harangue. And then the shows go off, and they have these big protests, but there's like 20 people there. Mm-hmm. So all that space in the newspaper, all that time in the media, and yet it really interested about 20 people.
Yeah, well, they got a lot of space to fill, a lot of time to fill, always a lot of content they need.
Yeah, and this story here is good for the clickbait because the comments, everybody just starts fighting on there.
Cool, that's great.
Well, I really prefer Kid Rock circa 2000
sure.
to Kid Rock 2019.
I prefer his music circa 2000.
Well, he's just more outland. He's just out there more now. He's putting his beliefs out there, and he don't give a shit.
He's taking a position, and I think he's sincere, and I don't really mind that he takes a position. I just hate when someone I like gets all this rain down on them, and it's almost like, I like Kid Rock. Is it okay to say that here? It seems insane to me. It's the same way with people who choose to be on the left, and you know who got a lot of hate rained down on them yesterday? First it was Deborah Messing, because she said, she and Eric McCormick from Will and Grace, as we were talking about earlier, said, we need to name all the donors who are attending this Trump fundraiser so we can never work with them again. And they want them all, named and doxed. It's our right to know who they are. Then John, what's his name? He's the guy from Seinfeld who played Mr. Peterman.
John O'Hurley.
John O'Hurley comes out and says, this is ridiculous. In Hollywood, believe me, there are plenty of people who are conservative and don't feel the way these people feel. And certainly we don't want to stop working with people that don't agree with us.
Good for him.
On the right. And of course, he gets wailed on by all kinds of people as being, a bigot for supporting Trump.
Brandon.
Sorry.
Don't give him any attention.
I can't
just
help
makes
it.
Him want to do it more.
That was just so bad. Well done.
I apologize.
Did you hear it?
I did hear what John O'Hurley had to say.
Oh, your fart.
I'm sorry. I'm
You don't have to apologize.
I'm sorry.
Well, I am sorry because I just wrecked the whole segment's toast. It's done.
I can't wait to hear from Kristen about all those farts at her grandfather's funeral since you can't help it.
That was a little Madeline. It was her, a little Madeline. She can't help it.
You better
it.
Take her to the doctor and make sure she's okay.
She doesn't know she's doing it.
Can I mention something very serious?
Yeah, I guess.
Remember Officer Dave Ember, Lathrop Village?
Yeah, I do. I sure do.
He had a glioblastoma,
yeah,
a brain tumor. He's 38.
He had a GoFundMe.
Yeah, he died. He passed away.
I saw that.
You know, he was an Iraqi war veteran and an officer and put up a hell of a fight.
And he's got a family, too.
Has a family. And I was talking to, you know, Pat is really good friends with him, and there is going to be another GoFundMe. So as soon as we have that information, because he did have the GoFundMe to, you know, help fight it. But, you know, lost that battle. It's just, it just seems like a great guy.
Yeah, I remember looking him up when it first came up. Yeah. And he's just a tough, tough guy. And I tell you, when he got the diagnosis, he looked like $1 million. He was, mm-hmm. you know, you could tell. He's the kind of guy you want to send if somebody's going to fight for this country. He certainly was a great guy to do it. And he did, with honor. And he's a police officer also, yeah. correct?
Yep. With Lathrop Village since 2017.
It's terrible.
Yeah. Doctors were stunned, you know, at how, you know, his fight, too.
Well, sorry to hear that.
It's awful. Certainly, but we have more information on the GoFundMe if you want to help out the family. We'll pass that along.
Definitely.
Okay. Maz, anything on your – you want to hit the outro, Brandon?
This
is to dealsinthed.com for sponsoring the studio. Thanks to Hall Financial for sponsoring the Hall Financial Hotline. Click the link or go to drewandmike.hallfg.com. Non sequiturs?
Lions and Cardinals this weekend.
Ah.
We just got the announcers for that. That will be Dick Stockton, who is doing like his 78th
well, then I'm not
year.
Watching.
Stockton is alive?
He's so bad. He was
I didn't know
good.
He was alive.
He was never good.
No, he wasn't.
Now he's like 90. And the Lions get him.
Who's with him?
Mark Schlereth, who I like Stink. He's a good guy.
Okay.
But he's got stuck with Dick Stockton, unfortunately.
Was that your only non sequitur?
Well, the other ones I blew. Remember, I blew out already.
Yeah.
I blew out on the show already.
Do you know, are the Lions favorite in that game I thought I saw? I thought they were laying up.
That reminds me.
2.5.
Hank Winchester.
Yes.
Help Me Hank is doing a feature on Kelly Stafford and her surgery.
She looks good, man.
I know. She looks fantastic. Seriously, that was the first thing. I was like, oh my God, look at Kelly Stafford. She looks fantastic. And Matt turns up in it. And they had a little teaser thing, but it's Wednesday on the 5 o'clock Channel 4 News if people want
to
see Kelly Stafford.
A lot of people
Stafford.
Still asking about her.
Yeah, looks like she's doing okay to me.
Yeah.
Anyway, nice scoop by Hank.
Hey, Hank.
Thank you.
All right, we'll be back with Trudy tomorrow.
Rest in peace, Mags.
And, I know. I'm still, my balance is just off.
Of course.
But Trudy will be here tomorrow. And like us on Facebook. Rate us on iTunes. Hey, we made the Stitcher Top 100. How's that?
Hey, all right.
Never happened before. See ya.
Dweller H.
You know, you hear all those letters together all the time, LBGT, LBGT, and you think it's just one big movement. It's not. All those letters are their own movement. They just travel in the same car together. My guess is the G's are driving that car. That makes sense to me, because there's white men in the G's. And these people are trying to get around discrimination and oppression. And you know how white dudes are. We know these roads. In fact, we built these roads. The rest of you buckle up. We'll get you to where you want to go. So the G's are just driving the car. Of course, next to the G's in the passenger seat is the L's. Everybody likes the L's. Except for the G's. I don't know what that's about. I just know the G's don't like them that much. The G's always say like little subliminal digs on them. It's unnecessary shit. It's not mean, but you know what I mean? They just be like, I wouldn't wear that. The only thing that breaks the tension between the L's and the G's are the B's in the back seat. It's one thing that the L's and the G's agree on is that the B's are fucking gross. They seem greedy to the L's and the G's, you know what I mean? They're just sitting in the back seat like, yeah, man, I'll fuck anybody in this car. What's going on, man? And sitting next to the B's, all the way in the back seat by themselves, looking out the window. That's the T's. Everybody in the car respects the T's, but everyone also resents the T's. It's not the T's fault, but everyone in the car just feels like the T's are making the trip take longer. Anything the T's say gets on everybody's nerves. And then the T's don't even say anything bad. They should be in the back talking to themselves. I'm hot. Shut up. Shut the fuck up, okay? Just roll the window down, you bitch. I don't know what you... What? Just said I was hot. Can you pull over at the next exit? I need to use the restroom. There is not a restroom for you for four states, nigga. Will you just shut the fuck up so we can get where we're going?